Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Getting ready to sell their soul for a chance.
and you must choose. Will it be eternal life, or will you choose to lose your soul as you disappear into the midnight?
Father, we thank you, Father God. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for the days that we're in right now. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're showing us. It's very exciting. We thank you, Lord, for having Brother Sammy Mwangi joining us at 8:15 to bring us up to speed on some really exciting things that are going on with Pipes International. Father, we praise you for the progression of the end times biblical timeline. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for all of the things you brought us through over the last 13, going to be 14 years as of July, roughly this summer, right around the corner, just a couple of months after this sadly doomed Babylon the Great country signs the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. But we got so many exciting things that are going on around us, the shoving of the CBDCs, the threats of the H1N1 or whatever version of whatever disease it is they're throwing at us, trying to kill all of our cattle, because they know these entities from the bowels of Sheol know absolutely that for us to be able to maintain spiritual warfare, we need protein. This is one of the reasons why it says in the first couple of sentences in Romans 14 that those who are weak will eat only vegetables. Father God, we just praise you and for all these secrets that most people would not be able to unravel, or would have no really honestly the churchianity wouldn't even attempt to unravel them. But we praise you for revealing these things to the hearts of babes. Father, we praise you for keeping us on the steady path and also, for steadying our hearts for the days that we're in right now, because it is topsy-turvy. It is a roller coaster ride. While I think many of us would have believed beyond any shadow of a doubt that we would have left a long, long time ago, and we have not. And I think it underscores the importance. I see a lot of people out there, Father, that are awakening to things. I found out just today that my ex-wife's boss is fully aware of all the things that are going on out there. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus for all of those who have a very difficult time accepting these things and mapping them back to the Holy Bible. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you'll give a spirit of peace to those of us who have been awake and aware but just cannot stomach seeing the horrible things that are happening across the world, because it's a duplicitous walk, one foot in the world. We can't yank ourselves completely out of the world yet. We have to, we have to tarry. We have to occupy. We have to be about the Father's business. And we just praise you for that, Father, for giving us a steadiness of heart, a feeling of the Greek word being nepho, level-headedness in 1 Thessalonians 5, Titus 2:2, 1 Peter 1:13, and 1 Peter 5:8. Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you for helping us to be able to get through these things and giving us perfect peace, for you will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you, because we trust you. Father, we love you with all of our heart. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our heart. We're going to say it over and over and over again, just like Charles and Francis Hunter said in the very beginning of their book, How to Heal the Sick. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you with all of our heart, and we pray that we will walk in as best of a harmony that we can, that you will continue to nurture us, to talk to our heart, to nudge us in the right way, that thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, because you pull us back on that with that rod. You whack us on the back end when we need it, and you pull us with that staff back onto that narrow path. We praise you, Jesus, for all that you are and how much you love us. We thank you for bringing us through some of the most difficult times the world has ever seen, and that we pray in Jesus' name that we are at the ready to do your will when you make that call for us to step out and touch another person's life, whether it's just wearing a shirt that says Noah was a conspiracy theorist, then it rained, to a restaurant that we can open up conversation, Father God, with other people, but not doing it in a provocative manner. We praise your name and thank you, Father, for your divine protection over each of us, because the days that we are in right now are ever so much more dangerous than they have ever been. They have, the days that we are in right now are more dangerous than the world has ever seen as far as the end times is concerned. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory, Jesus, the honor. We lay ourselves before you. We give you praise. We thank you for helping us through these things, for being the lover of our soul and calling us your friend. In the mighty name of Jesus. And now to him, our Lord Jesus, who is able to keep and present us faultless someday before the presence of our Father God with exceeding joy. And to you, Father, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, here we are again, another program. We made it a couple of more days, and sometimes I'm a little bit surprised. And, you know, somebody had sent me, I believe it was West Coast Walter, sent me a video off of Twitter, not really only about 2 hours ago or something like that. And it was somebody that was taking off one of those rubber masks that we're all so familiar with. And underneath the rubber mask, they were a reptilian. And now, granted, you know, how are you going to tell whether or not it's a real reptilian? I've had people ask me, and I'm like, I really don't think a real reptilian is going to do that. As a matter of fact, I'd bet the farm on it. But what's fascinating, and I don't see this very often on Twitter, is they suspended the account of the individual who put that up there already. So anyway, that was lickety-split very, very fast, and I'm starting to see more and more action on Twitter nowadays where they're killing accounts. So anyway, you know, what does this all mean? How does this all translate into the days that we're in right now? Well, I can tell you that Google's new terms and services have people very concerned because terms and services, they're saying that they're not only are they going to suspend your account or shut down your account, but they reserve the right to turn you over to legal authorities. So it's getting really heavy hitting out there, folks. If they don't like you, they're going to come after you real hard. It's a spooky, spooky, demonic time that we live in right now. And quite honestly, if it wasn't for, me believing wholeheartedly that my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, I should never say just my Heavenly Father, but our Heavenly Father, is protecting me, then I'd be afraid. I mean, I'll be as blunt can be. Even though 2 Timothy, 7:1 says, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of peace and of love and a sound mind. Or is it 2 Timothy 1:7? I don't know. I get kind of confused. I believe it's 1:7. But anyway, we were not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I especially love Psalm 56, verse 3, where it says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." I love Isaiah 26, verse 3, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts you." I have to trust the Lord. I have to trust the Lord and for obvious reasons. And I one of the things I love to do on these programs, Praise Jesus, is to bring forward, on every single show. I want to do it on every single show. Father, we just praise your holy name. We thank you forever and ever. We thank you forever and ever. Oh, and wait a minute, before I move on, everybody, anybody who's listening, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to a recorded podcast, please remember that the one time, if there was any time, that it was critical for us to be aware of the context of a particular verse. Now, most of the time, the context is not all that important when you start to discern scripture spiritually. However, most never get out of that rut. Most, especially those who have gone to theological colleges or Bible colleges, because the first thing they get taught is that you got to take everything in context, and then they start teaching you dispensationalism, and Jesus was talking to only the Jews, and that doesn't apply to you, and making up all kinds of excuses to sin, and all that stuff. And it's a shame. It's very, very. There is no level of sadness that's more sad than that, in my opinion. That's just how I feel about it. It absolutely breaks my heart. And I was subject to it my entire life. Okay, for me to have been in an untold number of Holy Spirit-filled tongue speaking, people going out in the Spirit, divine healing, events over 50 years of my life, and realizing that very few, if any, had ever mentioned the devil or hell, had ever taught from any, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, nope, never taught from it. Colossians 3, nope, never taught from it. 1 Corinthians 5, nope, never talked about it. Never talked about heavenly rewards. Rebuked people if they even brought up, you're one of those, deeds based, salvation people. You don't believe it, that it's out of faith. The problem is, Christianity doesn't even understand the most basic principles of the kingdom and how it works, and that makes it very scary. So, when I have conversations with folks that are still in Christianity, I always remind them, if you really want to start growing, you need to seek the Lord on your own. You need to get on your knees. You need to, take communion in the morning. You need to get up an extra half an hour early. You need to read the Bible on your own. You need to take it before the Lord. When you break away from churchianity and stop pumping that collection plate so you can watch somebody jump around on a stage and be all happy, go lucky, and never talking about the wages of sin is death and all the other things. And, there's so much in there. 1 Peter 4:7, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? I don't want to answer that question. I watched, Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. I watched it. I don't want to watch it again. I don't even want to be reminded about it. I don't even want to be reminded about it. Okay? Too horrible for me. Too horrible for me. Well, anyway, so it is, it's a very, very sad thing that's going on out there right now. And the itchy ears warning in the scripture, is very, very true. What was that? 2 Peter 4:3? Was that it? Or was it 1 Peter 4:3? I don't remember. But anyway, And we talked about that in pretty great detail here. Let me see if I can find it real quick here. I know that I can. So I'm just going to say I hold on a second. ITCH star, and I'll search the New Testament. Thank you, Jesus. And there it is. Yeah, okay, so it's 2 Timothy 4:3. Okay, for the time will come, which we know it wasn't while it was being penned, right? Sure we do. Okay, so for the time will come when they, the believers, will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear nothing about the devil. They don't want to hear nothing about sin. They don't want to hear nothing about nothing. They don't want to hear watch about Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. They don't want to listen to any of that stuff. They wouldn't stomach even 5 minutes of preaching from Leonard Ravenhill. No siree. You know, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Okay, so these are, you know, it's a very important to pay especially acute attention. Very, very serious. This is great. Why is it that every time I do a radio show, my voice starts to crack? I want to know the answer to that. All right, let's keep on going. So anyway, it's very, very important that we keep our eyes open as we're reading the Bible, and I do highly recommend. I'm not telling anybody not to read the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, especially Psalms and Proverbs. I dwell in Psalms and Proverbs. I absolutely adore them. And the rest of the Bible I love as well. But, you know, nowadays, I think more than ever before, I think it's really, really important that we read many times, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe, full readings of the New Testament. Because remember, that's the New Covenant. That's the New Covenant in Jesus' blood. Okay, it's really important that we understand that, and you get a better understanding. It's lines upon lines, precepts upon precepts, here a little, there a little. If you don't understand the order of algebraic operations, you can't go to trig class. You can't go to geometry class. And you dagnabbit sure can't go and do calculus, right? Amen? So anyway, you know, so as you read it the first time, you know, if you properly read it. Now, if you're listening to an audio Bible, I will share with you as one who has done that many times that you won't, even though it's so entertaining and wonderful and you will gush with glee as you hear the reenactment of all the things that are happening on it, I love it. Just love it. But I will tell you that I didn't really start learning the things that were being taught in the New Testament until I started actually physically reading it. Okay, now it didn't really matter whether or not I was reading it from a computer screen, my cell phone, or a paper Bible. That was irrelevant as far as my learning was concerned. As a matter of fact, for me, it was actually much better to do it with my PC study Bible because I had so many, you know, 22 different versions, you know, translations and everything else and all kinds of commentaries and things that I could look stuff up. Tiebreakers, you know, the Kenneth Boyce expanded New Testament and all that kind of, you know, just absolutely fabulous. Just fabulous. And you would build on things. You know, the first time you'd read it, you'd get this and you get the foundations down. Then the second time you'd read it, you'd be like, wait a minute. What did he just say? Holy moly, this takes on a whole new meaning. And then you read it a third time and you're like, oh my gosh. Oh, wow. You know, and you read it the fourth time and then you go to a whole nother level. The fifth time you go to a whole nother level, you see more and more things. And then especially when you start to memorize scriptures, and like I said, I have chosen the New King James for myself to do scriptural memorization. And that's, you know, I can tell you this. If you take it a little bit of time and you get yourself a collection of, you know, your favorite Bible verses or what you believe some of your favorite Bible verses are. Now, I don't know where you're going to go to get those. I will tell you that if you email me at jbaptist777@gmail.com, I will take the prayer vigil and I will dump it. You know, I'll do a control A and a control C and I'll dump it into a Word document or something like that and I'll send it to you if you want. But I'm going to let you know. It is jam-packed. There's probably 200 or 300 scriptures in there, and finding ones that are your favorites is not going to be an easy task because what I discovered is the more I started to find scriptures, I found favorites in every single topic. And, yeah, you can use tags, you know, if you use the Olive Tree Bible, which has to have access to the internet, I think it has to have access to the internet, but maybe not. I haven't tested it on an airplane in airplane mode yet. Okay, so I am not sure if it keeps like a miniature on offline copy. Now, I will say this. The neat thing about it is that the Olive Tree, other than the fact that it has what's called the Olive Tree Expanded or Enhanced Strong's with the Bible Dictionary, the Olive Tree Bible Dictionary, and that is amazing because when you click on the links, it takes you deeper and deeper into the research of the word. So you don't really just stop at just the Strong's, the Enhanced Strong's, but it drills down deeper into the Olive Tree Enhanced Bible Dictionary, and you really get some super deep understanding of the various possible meanings of the word. So while the Amplified and the Enhanced Amplified does a really, really good job of that, if you're really going to be doing some digging, it's just really super. I mean, I cannot express how awesome it is to have the Olive Tree version, the actual version of the Olive Tree app on the Google phone, I'm sorry, the Android, it's free. Now, is it also free in Apple? I don't know. Maybe it is. And if you're out there, Brother West Coast Walter, by all means, text me if you know the answer to that question because he's being forced to use Apple. He can always double check for me, but the Olive Tree version is wonderful, and you can install the Olive Tree application on your PCs endlessly. So let's say you're blessed like I am, and you work in the technology profession. I have a lot of PCs, so what I do is I install the Olive Tree. I can install the PC Study Bible on all of my PCs, which I do in case I'm traveling. So I have a local copy. I also have it. I can't put it on my cell phone, so that's kind of a bummer, but I can put the Olive Tree application on there, and it comes with a very small handful of free Bibles and a couple of commentaries or something. Some of them, there's a good amount of free stuff to get you started. Okay, but then when you decide you want the Amplified or you want the King James with plus Strong's, they call it New King James plus Strong's. I love that one because when you look at a word that, you can just touch the word and it drills down a little bit, then it drills down even further, and it drills down even further, and you see so much. It's just amazing. And what's really neat is if you are, let's say you're studying the Bible on your cellular phone with the Olive Tree, Bible software, and if you very carefully, and it's dainty, it's very dainty. People with big clumsy hands like me, it's really hard to get used to. Their tech support is absolutely beyond fabulous. If you send them an email to tech support, you will get an answer, and you will get it fast, and it will be the right answer. Because I asked them, I sent them a thing, and I said, is there any chance that you have synchronized, like if I highlight, Matthew 24:29 in the New King James, will it also highlight Matthew 24:29 in the other versions of the Bible that I buy from you? And their answer was absolutely, as long as you touch the verse number. So I didn't know that. So then now I've been doing that for a real, real long time. And it's really neat because I can jump all over to all these different, Bible translations that I'm using with the Olive Tree. Now, I didn't buy all 22 like I have with the PC Study Bible, but I don't need that, when I'm mobile and stuff. But anyway, I just love that app. So anyway, there's some ideas for you if you want to start digging in a little bit deeper as we're tarrying. We are being about our Father's business. I'm real excited about the T-shirt that I got. I like really oversized T-shirts because, I'm a plump kind of guy, if you know what I'm saying. And anyway, I would like to say that I've lost my pandemic 30, and I'm all the way back down to 265, but I'm not. I'm not making up any excuses. I need to change how I handle my lifestyle and different things like that. And it is on my agenda. However, I'm not there yet. Okay. When I get to that place, be going gangbusters and things will be wonderful, praise God. If, this is a big if, by the way, if the things that we see happening over in the Middle East don't accelerate and escalate as quickly as they very well might. Wow. All right. So we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how long this is going to take. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight as we move forward through the various major headlines. All right. Praise God. But before we get too deep into those headlines, I wanted to play for you a prophecy from the prophet Dr. David O'Rourke that goes all the way back to 2012 that he gave in Vienna, Austria, of all places. Imagine that. Now, what I had done was I snippet, I used my audio editor, and I edited it so that I took out the majority of the Austrian preacher there who was translating each sentence that the prophet Dr. David O'Rourke was saying at that Bible meeting on July the 8th of 2012. So how long ago was that? 2012 to 2013 to 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. That is 12 years ago. Holy moly. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so 12 years ago, the prophet Dr. David O'Rourke was standing on July 8th inside of obviously some kind of a get-together, a churchy-wurchy get-together in Vienna, Austria, and in 2012, and he gave this particular testimony of a vision that the Lord had given him. Let's listen in real quick before we hit the headlines.
Of the air seat.
Let me tell you about the war coming to Iran. I see two nuclear missiles strike a nuclear facility.
Ich sehe zwei atomare missiles, die eine atomare Facilität treffen.
And that facility is at the foot of a mountain in the desert.
Und diese Facilität ist am Fuß eines Berges in der Wüste.
And it is in Iran.
Und es ist in Iran.
And the fire that comes from there.
Und das Feuer, das daraus entsteht,
is the most historic fire,
ist das historischste Feuer,
that the earth has ever lived to see,
das die Erde jemals gesehen hat.
Watch out.
Passt auf.
Okay, wow. So that's going back all the way to 2012. He saw essentially a nuclear explosion, the greatest fire that the world has ever seen. So he also saw the sinking of the aircraft carrier off the coast of North Korea, and then the American aircraft carrier, by the way, and then the subsequent attack by North Korea with some kind of a missile very similar to the Qassam missiles that are fired really, really fast, the ones that go... You see them all over the, that kind of thing. They shoot them down into Seoul, South Korea. There was some reports that Kim Jong-un he's preparing his army for immediate war. And that's essentially what they say. They say that, Kim Jong-un is prepping all his military might for an imminent war. Okay, so it seems like every 3 days there's another report coming from North Korea, and we also know that Russia, Iran, North Korea, and China are all sharing military stuff with each other. It's the only way that I can imagine that North Korea would get a hold of hypersonic missiles, that Iran would get a hold of hypersonic missiles. They have to be sharing. I know that Iran has been giving an awful lot of you know, those suicide drones. I don't know. They got so many different names because there's so many different kinds of drones. But anyway, to Russia to use in the Ukraine. So there's been an awful lot of military exchange, not only on technologies, but also on know-how, intelligence, positioning, satellite information, et cetera, et cetera. So at this point in time, I think it's very, very safe to make the estimation. I'm not going to say the assumption because people go, assumption that makes an ASS out of UME, whatever. Okay, fine. So I will say the word estimation that Putin is at his wit's end. He's about sick and tired of all of this nonsense that's going on out there. And you might say, well, you know, Putin really shouldn't be buddying up with Iran, but this is all about the national interest of Russia. And Russia has always historically, they've always had territories that were part of the USSR that were 100% Muslim. Okay. That's why they were using the Chechenian. And by the way, the Chechenian soldiers, the Russian soldiers, the Chechenian soldiers that worked with Russia to free Mariupol and some of the places in Donetsk, et cetera, they are known as the best urban warfare soldiers in the world. Okay, I would really rather that we all just go to heaven. And so in that case, I think it's super duper important that we do pray together because the Bible commands us to do so and do it in accordance with our scripture and believe. Believe that our Heavenly Father, believe with all of your heart and ask Him to. Tell him, I love you, Father. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. It says it right in the first chapter of the book of How to Heal the Sick with Charles and Francis Hunter. They said, we knew that we didn't love our Heavenly Father as much as we needed to. We knew that we hadn't fallen in love with Jesus as much as we needed to. And they said in the first chapter, that husband and wife got together and they wrote the first chapter together. And they said that the way that they overcame that is every morning that they would wake up. They had already decided that they were going to become a divine healing ministry team. They had already made the decision. So when they woke up in the morning together, they would say, we love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. They would say it together, united in as one, you know, a husband and wife, as one person, really. That's what the Bible says. And they were. They did operate in that manner, very biblical and just awesome, just a beautiful thing. And that's how they fell in love with the Lord, because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. There's power in our tongues. That's why we have to confess of our sins, and then our Father is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We're not supposed to be walking around thinking about it, like, you know, thinking really hard, like, Lord, I really wish I hadn't have done that, but you know, I kind of did, so please forgive me. No, we're supposed to speak it forth with the power of the tongue. Speak it forth. All right. So anyway, and they did, and they fell in love according to the – I recommend reading that book at least three or four times. Two books that I recommend reading at least twice is How to Heal the Sick by Charles and Francis Hunter, and He Came to Set the Captives Free by Dr. Rebecca M. Brown, M.D. And those two books you got to read at least twice. And by the way, you want to buy yourself one of those post-it note sticky things with the pointers. They look like little pointers, and it's what you always see in the workplace if you haven't retired already, where they want you to sign on the dotted line on page 15. And they do that, you know, the executive assistants do that so that they can give this stack of papers to their boss, like, you know, actually four or five or six or seven or eight stacks of papers to their boss. And their boss, you know, all they have to do is open it up to where the little sticky is, and they see where they got to sign. They just sign it, you know, kind of like you're closing on a house. Who reads all the paperwork when you're closing on a house? If you're raising your hand right now, you're blowing my mind. But anyway, I'm not going to get into all that. What I am going to get into is what we've been commanded to do. Now, in accordance with that, we need to be, you know, falling in love with our Heavenly Father more than ever before. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our minds, and our soul. That is some serious love. And that's where godly sorrow comes from, because when you are in love with your Father and you sin against Him, or you commit a sin, like it says in Psalm 51, David said, against you and you only I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So we need to fall in love with our Father more than anything. And the analogy I like to use, and I will, I don't want to run out of time. Sammy's coming on real quick, and we're going to run out of time. But I say, just speak it forth. I do highly recommend that you get How to Heal the Sick by Charles and Francis Hunter and read it a couple of times. You're going to, your mind will be fried. It will be blown away. You won't believe all the stuff you will learn. I have so many post-it notes in mine, I can barely navigate it. I don't even know if I have a copy anymore because I keep giving the copies away and they never come back, which to me I think is a blessing. Then the other thing, the other one was He Came to Set the Captives Free. Very, very important book for every Christian to read. Ever, it's just, words cannot describe, folks, for real. Just amazing. Praise God. All right, so you heard the prophet, Dr. David O'Rourke, explain that he saw a historic fire. Okay, in Iran. Well, we've already brought up the headlines of them, of Netanyahu's IAF with the assistance of the Biden administration, et cetera, you know, testing the abilities of the F-35 to be able to fly below the radar and not be detected by the Russian radar or the Iranian radar and see if they could make it in there so that they could take out one of the nuclear facilities. So they've already been practicing. They've already, you know, we know that that's what they're going to do. Okay, and we just heard the prophecy, you know, the vision. So anyway, we know what's going to happen. Now, what we don't know is that the next move. We do not know that. Is that the next move? Okay, so on that note, together, let us do this. I think every single radio show that we do, we should do this together because we're just getting too close, folks. Please, 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 even if you really, really dislike me, even if you really, 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 really dislike me, please pray this. Please. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name, and you have told us so many times, Lord Jesus, so many times. And in Matthew 18:19, once again, you said, just like you did in John 12:13-14, praise your name, thank you, Lord. Or is it John 14:12-14? I think it might be. But, Father, so many different places, Lord Jesus, so many different places you have told us that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How beautiful is that? Thank you, Lord. We're not praying amiss. We know that we're not praying amiss to spend it on our own lust, Book of James. We're coming before you with a humble and contrite spirit, and you said that you save such who have a contrite spirit. And we do. We know we're not deserving of anything. And in accordance with Matthew 18:19, Lord Jesus, you told us again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, Lord, we know that the scripture goes on and says, you know, we're two or more gathered together in your name, but we're embracing this first, the first clause of that scripture in Matthew 18:19, where two or more are gathered, you know, where two or more are agreeing on planet earth. Father, you know that we're on planet earth. Lord Jesus, you know that we're on planet earth. Lord Jesus, you stood before Pontius Pilate and you said, if my kingdom was from here, my servants would fight. But my kingdom is not from here. We know that if we were to be perfect because you said so, we were to sell everything, give it to the poor, pick up our cross, and follow you. And where in the world would we follow you with a cross? To Golgotha, to our death, because we are sheep led to the slaughter, Romans 12. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, please. We're on earth. We're on earth. There's more than two of us. And we're asking you, please, in the name of Jesus, in accordance with Luke 21:36, that you will please count us worthy to escape all these things that are about to come to pass and stand before the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus, who we love, 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 love. We love you. We love you, Lord. And we lift our voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, Father, praise you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will use that rod and thy staff and bring us back on track whenever we slip and bring us into total harmony with your will and the days that we have. Even if we don't know, please hear our prayers. Bring to our attention the things that have to change in our lives, if there are any, and there probably are. But count us worthy, because we aren't. Count us, please, worthy to escape these things. Help us to remember and know what sins are, to read Galatians 5:19, to read Colossians chapter 3, to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, to understand what sins are, to read the Gospels of Jesus as he warns us of the things we must not do, and embrace them and embed them into our hearts. Psalm 91:11, I have written your scriptures into my heart, so I will not sin against thee. Hallelujah. We praise your name and we thank you, Father, for directing our path, because we need it. We need it now, especially more than ever before, and we trust you, Father, because you will keep us in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed upon you, because we trust you. I have to trust you, Father. You know I do. And I kind of like it that way. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We praise your holy name, and we thank you for bringing us to the next place in our walk. Draw us in closer in love, and just make us gush over the very presence of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. It's not something that you proclaim. You don't put on the whole armor of God by saying, I put on the shield of faith. I don the sword of the Spirit. It's not how it works. Those are metaphors for how we behave and how we seek you, Father. And that ultimately adds up to our angels, our personal angels, who bring us the answers to our prayers when we pray through, and our fires turn into holy fire, and the demons scamper and run for their lives and scream, okay, and run for their lives in the spiritual realm, because that holy fire scares them to death, and that melts through the firmament of the rock across the stinking spiritual realm where the second order demons reside. It's just horrible, and the angels don't even like to go through it. That's where the Prince of Persia met up with the angel that was trying to bring the answer to the Babylonian captivity to Daniel. That's where he got held up and had to have an archangel come and set him free. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus, that we understand these things and we know where to find them in the Bible, because we know that these things are true, and we praise your holy name because it helps us to be able to pray the way that we need to pray, to please you and to walk in total harmony with your will. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Father. Please, Lord Jesus, count us all worthy. And any one of you, again, I'm going to say, if you lift me up in prayer by name, believe you me, I am on my knees and I am asking the Father, please, Father, a tenfold blessing. I don't even know what a tenfold blessing means. I'm going to tell you straight up. But I do. I ask for a tenfold blessing for anybody who even takes a moment to lift me up by name, because I know that we all have a lot that we need to pray for. Physician, heal thyself. We got to pray that we fall in love with the Lord. We got to pray to Jesus that we fall in love with him. We got to pray that we get our act together, because if we are, you know, that's why Jesus said, physician, heal thyself. He said it because he knows that a sick doctor can't heal other people. So anyway, these are all things that are very important in our walk, and we praise you, Father, for helping us to understand these things. We know that we are, it's just in the nick of time. We don't know how long that time is going to be, Father. But we pray, Father, whatever your will is for us, that we lay our lives down to you and we totally trust you. Whatever it is that you want us to do, we trust you. We give it to you. We give our lives to you with all of the love of our heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All righty then. Okay, so anyway, you heard the prophecy from Dr. David O'Rourke talking about the historic fire in Iran. Wow, all the way back to 2012. Boy, he's going to pop a cork if that's what happens. But anyway, the man of sin will be revealed for who he is. Let's take a quick listen to that, because I want to. Before I go into the rest of the headlines, I'm going to play this one. So I think it's very, very important for us to be brought back. Oh, no. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, so I'll try this again. I'll pull the whole thing down and see if that works. Sometimes when I copy stuff into the show notes, I got a hit this time. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to go ahead and play this whole prophecy from God's Healer 7 from way, way back. I'm trying to squeeze my eyes and squint and maybe see the date. You know what? I can't. I honestly can't. I can't zoom in enough. But anyway, that doesn't matter. You know what? Does it really matter? I can tell you that it's before Sister Barbara had her stroke. So I don't know how far back that goes, but it's a ways. It's a ways back. Probably in the 2013, 2014, 2015 time frame is my guess. But anyway, let's take a listen to this. Now, this is a full 3 minutes and 53 seconds long. Time well spent. Thank you, Jesus. Let's listen to this.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and welcome to the God Healer 7 End Time Prophecy Channel. I'm Sister Barbara, and I have Brother Dan here with me. I have a prophecy that I've been hearing pieces of for the last several days, and I was holding it because I was praying over it because it seemed a little bit choppy. There was a place that I needed a pause in it, and I didn't know where to pause. So I have Brother Dan has the scripture.
Yes, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 36, King James Version. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You're up.
Yes, and he showed me that. He showed me a part of it. So this is going to be in like two little pieces because I got part of it and then I got the next part of it. So let's go here. All right. Daughter, speak this warning and tell the people what I have shown you. The restrainer will be taken away. The man of sin will be revealed for who he really is, the beast. Mr. Obama will return in his new position as ruler. The streets will be filled with violence, civil unrest, and war. The weak will be murdered, unable to defend themselves. Children will murder parents for what they have and take it from them. Your militia will be unable to keep order or gain control. There will be riots and fires. There will be no safe place. The unbelievers will rise to power. Behold, I come quickly. Okay, now the next part is after I prayed on it. Okay. Abra, you have seen well and understood. This is the tribulation coming upon the whole earth. Many will be killed for my name's sake. Okay, that's that. Many will be killed for my name's sake. Okay, so that's the end of it. So that's enough hair raising. And yes, he did give me a glimpse into the part.
All right, praise God. So anyway, to recap, not only was she prophetically told to speak forth the name of Obama, which I had been listening and bringing God's Healer 7 prophecies live on this program for probably years before she actually had the word Obama came out of her mouth, which is fine. But anyway, so the streets will be filled with civil unrest. So imagine if let's just pretend that Donald Trump gets elected, Donald Trump gets assassinated, he gets killed, of course, then there will be an uprising across this country like has never been seen before. There will be a civil war, as was seen by Dimitri Dudeman and written about in his book, Through the Fire Without Burning. Okay. Also, there was another prophet that my sister listens to who saw the X from the eclipses. The second one was not a real eclipse. It was actually a group of the, you know, some of the seven planets that orbit around Nibiru, Tyche, the destroyer of nations, Jeremiah 4:7, or the destroyer in the Colburn Bible, or the horrible star in 2 Esdras chapter 15, verse 40 through 48. Praise God. All right, so we have an abundance of biblical information regarding Planet X, which the author Douglas Elwell wrote in his book, Planet X, The Sign of the Son of Man. Which is Matthew 24:29, because it says, you know, that all the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see it. they're not talking about mourning. They're not going to be mourning because they see Jesus. Because when Jesus comes for the bride, one of the mistakes that the theology makes is they think that the trumpet sound that is heard to call the bride up is one of the trumpets in the trumpet judgments, or, you know, the wrath period in the trumpet wrath of God, which happens after Revelation 6:17. Okay, during the trumpet judgments, which are part of the wrath of God. Okay, that is incorrect. That is not true. What we know as a fact is that the only people that will hear the sound of the trumpet are the actual bride of Jesus Christ that is being called up. The rest of the Christians on the earth will not hear a peep, not a sound. Jesus is not arriving onto planet Earth until Revelation chapter 19, when he comes with, go back to the book of Jude, 10,000s of his saints, okay, on a white horse, okay? And don't get me going on the New Jerusalem. That is, thing is huge. And it's adorned as a bride. Why is that? Because the bride is fully transformed and inside the New Jerusalem. How cool is that? I don't think it gets any cooler than that. So anyway, praise God for that. But what did she say? Mr. Obama would rise up and take a position essentially of authority. She did not say what it would be called. I've already said that an untold number of times. I believe it will be it'll have to do with the National Security Directive number 51 for the continuity of government, which was fully redacted by the reptilian George W. Bush, which really made Senator DeFazio so angry. I thought his head was going to pop off on C-SPAN. He was so angry. But anyway, civil unrest. There will be war in the streets. People will be killing each other. There will be riots. There will be fires. And the unbelievers, in the prophecy, she said, would rise to power along with who? Obama. Well, looky there. And guess what? At that point, we have fulfilled all the checkboxes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where in the second letter of the church to Thessalonica, Paul was basically smacking them around a little bit and saying, you guys better knock it off as if the day of Christ has come. The day of Christ will not come until these things happen. Get out your paper and pen, you bunch of boneheads. I can see Paul right now. I can just imagine the look on his face when he was writing it. And he gives them a list of things to look for. Make the list. Make the list. Take the mission, John. Take the mission. All right. Hopefully you will all take the mission, because you've listened to this program and maybe you have no idea what the mission is, but I got a pretty good idea what it is. I know what I believe. I've said to myself, I thought to myself, you know, how is it that 144,000, which, by the way, is a teensy-weensy tiny little fraction of the millions and millions and millions of people that will make the bride of Jesus Christ, you know, how is it that, you know, they're, you know, why would they be left on the earth to suffer? 144,000 and the two witnesses. Why? And the two witnesses are not two bearded Hebrews standing on a street corner in Tel Aviv, blocking off, you know, explosives from Abrams A1 tanks for 3.5 years with fire breathing out of their mouth because they got lost from the Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey circus. Come on, please. A little bit of common sense when we're reading the Bible, but people don't do that. Anyway, we know who the players are. Take the mission, John. I believe that since we know that the 144,000 and the two witnesses are going to be in heaven at the wedding supper, then when Larry told me, they're going to take you into another room, John. They're going to take you into another room, John. I'm telling you, John, they're going to do it. They're going to ask you if you want to go into eternal rest. John, do you want to go into eternal rest? And then they're going to say, or would you rather take the mission, John? Listen to me, John. Take the mission, John. Take the mission. I believe with all of my heart that Some of us, some subset of us that take the mission will be sent back down to Earth with incredible powers. And that's where the fire comes in Revelation 11, where they're breathing fire out of their mouths for 3.5 years. That is the period of the Great Tribulation. I believe, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so, that God is going to send a subset of us back with superpowers like X-Men or like, you know, Masters of the Universe or whatever the case, shooting fire out of our hands and commanding with the holy fire of God and shooting it at the locust and doing whatever we have to do to protect the tribulation saints that have the seal of God on their forehead and they don't get stung by the locusts that are coming from where? Out of the abyss? Wrong answer. The locusts are coming from the sky. How do we know? Because it says that the Abaddon goes down, opens up the bottomless pit, smoke comes out of the pit, and it rises up into the sky and it covers the sun. And then out of the smoke, which is covering the sun, which happens to be up in the sky, out of the smoke come the locusts. They are alien creatures and they look exactly like the alien in the movie Aliens by Sigourney Weaver. The man, Matt Geiger, who created the model of that alien, was a serious, very, 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 very serious occultist. In fact, he told people that my dreams are so horrible, I can barely live with them. Okay, enough said. Check the boxes, everybody. We're getting really close. Okay, now I'm going to burn through the rest of these headlines. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
It's not normal.
It's just wrong.
It's not normal.
This is disturbing.
Game over.
Praise God. First one up. All right. So Iran, by the way, these are in chronological order. Okay. I did that on purpose just to tell the story, just in case some of us were too busy doing what we got to do to survive, which is often the case. And that's okay. I'm right there with you. Believe you me, I am right there with you. That's why I need all the prayer I can get. Believe me. All right. And the devil will do everything he can to get rid of this radio show. I'll tell you what. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So the first headline up is Iran notified the United States 72 hours before the attack, giving them time to prepare a defense. Reuters reports that Tehran gave neighboring countries and the United States 72 hours notice that it would launch a strike or strikes, a move that would have enabled them to largely thwart the attack. The argument here is that Iran did the right thing and they behaved in accordance with the rules of war and war behaviors. They did not attack, slaughter any babies, bomb any hospitals, kill any people for no reason. They did exactly what international law and protocol of war requires. Now, am I saying anything good, bad, or indifferent about anybody here? No. I am simply regurgitating. So consider me a parrot. Caw, caw, caw. No, that's a crow. That's a crow. So I, you know, the crows are what I have to eat. You know, whenever I'm wrong about something. So I got to keep this. I got to keep that sound effect very handy. Hey, hey. Hey, kids, and please, kids, hey, don't take it serious. We got Sammy coming on. We're going to have to get back to you another time. Please don't take it, you know. I know. But we got Brother Sammy coming on, and he's going to give us some really good news, and it's going to make you happy. It's going to make your mom and dad happy. It's going to make everybody happy, so we're going to play, we're going to do that. And I know that you guys will hang in there till the next show. Is that okay? All right. Even Spanky shaking his head yes. Praise God. All right. Next headline up. All right, the next headline is at least 9 Iranian ballistic missiles hit Israeli strategic air bases. The Navadim Air Base in the Negev Desert was struck by 5 ballistic missiles damaging the main runway and a C-130 transport aircraft and several storage facilities. Now, the reason why I'm reading this detail to you is because this is the detail that leaks out. of Israel, just like the seven orbiting planets of Planet X causing the fake eclipse. It wasn't an eclipse. It was not a lunar eclipse. And all the anomalies that people saw from CERN and the demons flying around, and oh my goodness gracious sakes alive, holy cow, it was unbelievable. But anyway, and then it goes on to say the Ramon Air Base, also located in the Negev Desert, was struck by at least, hold on a second, and I'm getting a notification that Sammy's going to be calling soon, and amen, I got my eye on the clock, but he's going to have to hang in there for us because we always run behind. Whenever we have Brother Robert on, we're always a little bit behind schedule. That's just how it goes. The Ramon Air Base, also located in the Negev Desert, was struck by at least four ballistic missiles, causing unspecified damage, according to U.S. officials and ABC News. Now, can you trust them? I don't know. But we are getting supporting reports from people who live there and have actually taken live videos. So it's fascinating when you have people all walking around, you know, with a full-blown high-resolution zoomable video camera on their cellular devices. Now, I did get a message here on Google thing. No. Okay, hold on. What's this say? Oh, come on. CVS or CVS Pharmacy is trying to tell me to come down and they're telling me that I'm running low on graphene oxide and that it's really important that I get a few more nanobots shot into my arm or else I won't be able to take the mark of the beast very easily. So they're being very kind and letting me know in advance. I'm kidding. Kids, you didn't believe me, did you? Exactly. Do not go. Do not pass go to. Do not collect $200. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next headline up. The United Nations rebukes Israel. Let's listen to them rebuke Israel. Here we go. Oh, I forgot to flip the switch.
State of Israel by the Islamic Republic of Iran.
I got to go back. Hold on. Here we go.
The United States condemns in the strongest terms the unprecedented attack on the State of Israel by the Islamic Republic of Iran and its militant proxies and partners. Iran's intent was to cause significant damage and death in Israel. It launched over 300 munitions, including more than 100 ballistic missiles and land attack cruise missiles at Israel, as well as explosive unmanned aerial vehicles. Iran's reckless actions not only posed a threat to populations in Israel, but also to other UN member states in the region, including Jordan and Iraq. The Security Council has an obligation to not let Iran's actions go unanswered. The Security Council must unequivocally condemn Iran's aggressive actions and call for Iran and its partners and proxies to cease their attacks.
Okay, I don't know about you, but there's only so much of that filthy, dribbly feces pouring out this entity's mouth that I can take, okay? But you got the gist of it. Okay, so everybody's taking sides. And then, of course, the very, very sad thing that we see happening more and more now. For example, Professor Walter Veith, who has done an absolutely fabulous teaching about the Khazars. I will just let you know this. I have a very large collection about the history of the Khazars, which are the Ashkenaz, as opposed to the Sephardim Jewish people. But anyway, you know, for example, I could. Let me see if I can do this easily. I don't really have enough time. Doggone it. Maybe I'll play it for you in the future at some point. But anyway, I got some super good teachings on this stuff, and I'd really like to be able to play for you some of these teachings. Now, Stephen Bendenoon and I were sharing stuff back and forth this morning. And, you know, he was concerned about some things and I brought him up to, you know, we were sharing notes, you know, what did you see? Well, this is what I saw. What did you see? This is what I saw. That kind of thing. I am not going to read you what the Babylonian Talmud has inside of it, but it's horrible. It's really horrible. And, this is some really deeply, deeply disturbed, sick stuff. Okay. So, but anyway, It's really important to understand this history. Now, I will share this with you because I'm going to read them. One way or the other, I'm going to somehow find time to read these books. Not that I don't have 200 of them, 200 books stacked up in front of them, because I do. But anyway, so one of them is Jesus in the Talmud. That's the title of the book by Peter Schaefer, Jesus in the Talmud. And I mentioned one of the things that they said about Jesus in the Talmud to Stephen Ben-Noon, and he said, oh, John, it's much worse than that. The thing that I told him about was that Jesus is boiling in a pot of feces. Yep. So it's some pretty sick, twisted stuff, folks. And then I also bought the third edition of a book. Was not inexpensive, I can assure you, but I want it, and I'm going to read it. It's only available in hardcover and Kindle, but you don't see that much with Kindle, so I'm going to go get the hardcover so I can carry it around. But it's actually entitled The Jews of Khazaria. Now, anyway, which, by the way, according to historical records, make up approximately 70 to 80% of all of the Jews. These are the Chabad Lubavitch Jews. They practice the Babylonian Talmud. They hate Christians with all of their heart. They want to see us all dead. They are the writers of the Noahide laws, where we are decapitated. They are going to implement the Noahide laws in the Great Tribulation. It's going to be part of us getting our heads cut off. That is, if you are cast into the Great Tribulation and they capture you, and you have to be one of those people that has to refuse Jesus. Of course, you're not going to, right? You're not going to take the mark, and then they're going to lay you down on the guillotine. But, of course, they're going to start with your children. So make sure that you are praying on your knees, that you are counted worthy to escape all these things that are about to come upon the earth, and stand before Jesus at the wedding supper. Praise God. All right. So anyway, back to the news. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Iran targets military and does not, and they, of course, they call out the fact that they did not target anybody but military locations. So they were calling, once again, multiple sources of, End Times News is reporting the fact that Iran, you know, played by the rules. All right, so for what that's worth. Of course, that's not what you're going to hear from the mainstream media. It's not what you're going to hear. I can tell you that Dr. Walter Weith, he did a fantastic study on the Khazarian Jews, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church has banned him from all their churches. That, by the way, is a fulfillment of prophecy, John 16:2. They will kick you out of the synagogues. Yes, they will kill you and think that they have done God a service. But they do this because they do not know the Father nor me, the love of the Father nor me. They don't get it. Anyway, that kind of stuff is going on all over the place. It's just a doggone shame, and we're going to see a lot more of it. It's getting more and more horrible. Every 3 days it goes by, things, more and more horrible things are happening across the earth. Please be advised. I do not talk about everything that I see. If I did, you would need a bucket beside you and maybe some Epicac, or what do they call that? Okeopectate. Or even better, what's the one in the little blue bottle? I can't think of it. But whatever. Anyway, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next headline up. Pakistan Parliament called King Jordan a traitor. So now we see this enmity building between the various factions of the Sunni Muslims and the Shiite Muslims. Wow. That's fascinating, because if Iran does not attack the nuclear facility Israel does not attack the nuclear facility and they attack something else, that may kick off a fight between the Sunni Arabs and the Sunnis and the Shiites. And if that does happen, then that will be a fulfillment of, you have to go back in time, folks. You got to go back like 10 years. I hope you remember when the young 15-year-old boy from Jerusalem, he was a Jew and he was taken to heaven by Jesus. He came back and he told his rabbi that Obama was Gog, G-O-G, And he also told his rabbi that first the Sunni and Shiite Muslims would start fighting amongst one another, and then they would all turn their attention on Israel and start attacking Israel. That's what he said he heard. He would not tell the rabbi, Rabbi Rami Levy, he would not tell him that he had seen the Messiah, and he would not tell him his name, because I can assure you, that poor little 15-year-old boy would be lucky to have lived the rest of the day. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. All right. Iran, a missile swirl in the air to avoid the Iron Dome. So they actually have live footage of the Iranian missiles that are coming down on Israel. And what's really fascinating is this, it's a lie from the United States government that they shot down all of the missiles. They did not. They missed literally a boatload, a Maersk shipping container boatload of missiles. They missed a lot. And these things were amazing. You could see the footage of the missiles coming down, and as they were descending toward their target, what the missile would do is it would swirl in the air. The missile would actually swirl in the air in a circular or curly Q motion to avoid the Iron Dome missiles, and then it would hit the ground and explode. Absolutely amazing. So that's just a tiny, teeny, weeny baby taste of some of the extremely advanced technologies that Iran has queued up that Israel does not have. All right, praise. How do we know? Because we gave Israel pretty much all of their weaponry. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, next one up. Praise God. G7 leaders condemn Iran. So I got a message here from Mylanta. No, it's not the Mylanta, brother. It's another one. It's not the Mylanta is in a green bottle, but there's one that comes in a teeny or weeny or little or much smaller bottle. Teeny weeny little bottle. Starts with a U, I think, the letter U. But anyway, I'm not remembering it right off the top of my head. But anyway, let's go ahead and listen to the G7 leaders do their ridiculous spewing of filth and their condemnation of Iran. Again, it's a ganging up of the Satanists of the world. What we're seeing are the most satanic, pedophile, blood-drinking, baby-killing, adrenal chrome gobbling, shape-shifting reptilians across the world, including Hillary Clinton, which doesn't get any darker than that. It does not get any darker than that. Trudeau, excuse me, hello, is anyone paying attention? These entities, which is what they are tares. They are not humans. They are tares, and they are out supporting everything that Israel is doing, along with the American churchianity, okay, with the blind eyes. They don't understand the Jews that are not Jews. They don't understand who the synagogue of Satan is. I saw some pastor doing his YouTube rendition of what the synagogue of Satan was, and he was so far off to the left, off kilter in his understanding that I had to shut it off. I was like, oh, no. But that's okay. That's just the way it is, and we just have to live with it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So let's listen to the condemnation from the G7 leaders. Bum, bum, bum. Here we go. Double-click on this and bring it up. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yesterday, Iran launched a massive attack against Israel using drones and missiles. Such a direct Iranian attack against Israel is unprecedented. Today, we, the leaders of the G7, condemn this in the strongest terms. We expressed our solidarity and support to the people of Israel and reaffirmed our unshakable commitment towards its security. Iran's actions risk provoking an uncontrollable regional escalation, and this has to be avoided.
All right, so I've had enough of that dung dribble. These are Satanists, folks. These are the ones that want to implement the CBDCs, you know, the digital bank currencies. They're the ones that are pushing the fake, lying weather agenda down on us. They're the ones that want to kill all of our cattle, that are already setting fire to all the chicken houses, all of the places that do eggs. They're the ones who are jacking up. God's allowing it. God's allowing it. And these are the things that Jesus told us about in the Olivet Discourse. So get your piece of paper out. Make yourself a checklist. Pestilence, famine, wars and rumors of wars. All these things are happening right now. Why are they happening? They're happening at the hand of the devil and the global satanic crime syndicate. So they're implementing the things that need to happen for them to bring their Antichrist Messiah back and usher in their sick, twisted, cut our heads off, slaughter the Christians, New World Order, and put a digital tattoo on our hands, the mark of the beast. This is where we're heading with all of this stuff, folks. The technology already exists. It's being talked about by Klaus Schwab and all of his cronies. They already have the ESG initiatives. They're already praising China for all of their creepy, weird things that they're doing to their population with social credit scores and horrible stuff. So anyway, you know, and so they're... I wish people could just use a little common sense. I don't know why people don't use common sense. But you know what? The only way that I can estimate it is that they simply just don't have it. They follow the pack. If all the sheep go jumping over the stone wall and run into the other farmer's field, well, guess what? First sheep over the hill, guess what the other sheep do? They jump over the wall and they run behind. And next thing you know, you got a whole herd of sheep following the first sheep, going across the road, and running into another field. Sheep are the most ornery, difficult, ignorant, pack-running animals ever God has created on the earth. And that's why Jesus calls us sheep. Because it's exactly what we are. We act like sheep. We don't think on our own. I have a very famous quote where the guy says, I think it was David Thoreau, or maybe it was another famous author. Maybe I'm trying to think of the author's name. But it says, if you find yourself going in the same direction as everybody else, it's time to stop and reflect. If you find yourself running in the same direction as everybody else, it's time to stop and reflect. Think about what you're doing and go the other way. All right, praise God. So here's a little and Brother Sammy, hang in there for me. You know, I know that our guest for tonight will also hang in there for me, but I got to get the rest of these headlines out. They're just way too important. It's just what I got to do. But we'll get to you in a second, Sammy, so hang in there for us, okay? This is a commentary by Colonel Douglas McGregor regarding the Netanyahu escalation problem. All right, and here we go.
Must escalate to survive. Mr. Netanyahu must escalate to survive, and he believes that escalating the war is ultimately Israel's salvation. How do you escalate the war? You goad Iran into attacking you. And this is a direct provocation designed to precipitate a major response from Iran. So it's a foregone conclusion that if Mr. Netanyahu is successful and we are dragged into this, we will end up fighting with the Russians directly. Most of your political class is bought and paid for by the Israeli lobby. Hatred has taken over. Emotion has taken over. There is no rational calculus, unless you want to judge plans for the annihilation of Arabs in Gaza, in the West Bank, and potentially southern Lebanon as a rational calculus. I don't think you're going to see a deliberate counterstrike from Iranian soil, because again, the Iranians don't want a war. This is a thing that has to be understood. Nobody in the region except the Israelis and the United States are enthusiastic about the war. I think that the globalist elites that are ruling the states in Europe, in Western Europe primarily, are unwilling to admit the truth, because they know if they admit the truth, they'll be held accountable at the ballot box, and they will lose. I think they're going to lose anyway. But when the truth comes out, they've had it, because they've also committed suicide economically, as you know, by rejecting Russian cheap Russian energy.
All right, so I'm going to stop right there because it goes on for another couple of minutes. But there is his military viewpoint, not biblical military viewpoint. And he was an advisor to Donald Trump's presidency. And now he is commenting on the war situation worldwide. Now let's go ahead and continue forward. Next one up is Tel Aviv is moving to attack Iran deep in its own territory, which is exactly what Iran said. Don't think about it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Never mind that there have been Russian troops build up on the other side of the Golan Heights. They're there, and they're there in force. There's a bunch of them. Okay, but it's going to get worse. We're going to progress through these headlines, and you're going to see it happening. It's going to unfold as you hear them. Next one up, 7 Fatah missiles were used to attack Israel. So this goes on and says, Iran attacked Israel with 7 Fatah hypersonic missiles. The Iron Dome did not shoot down a single one because it can't. Those missiles are 15 times faster than sound and have a range of 1,400 kilometers. Moscow military expert, and I can't see this guy, sure, again, is his last name. The Iranians carried out their night attack in waves. Since they are significantly slower than both fighter jets and missiles, they launched their Shahad drones first. A few hours later, the subsonic cruise missiles were launched, and only then the Fatah hypersonic ballistic missiles were used. Everything was so calculated and coordinated that the drones and rockets of both types reached the targets on the territory of Israel virtually simultaneously, acting as one giant shockwave. Okay, now is this untainted information, unbiased information, perfectly unflawed information? That would be absolutely ridiculous to think that. But this is one person's viewpoint, and where they got their information was likely the Middle East. All right, now all that being said, we move on to the next headline. Iran will respond with a new kind of weapon. The Speaker of the Iranian Parliament, National Security Commission, Mr. Amoel, has stated tonight that Iran is prepared to utilize, and I quote, a weapon it has never used before if Israel decides to launch a retaliatory attack. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Now, next one up. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Breaking news. Israel has decided today to the Iranian attack. According to the Wall Street Journal, the target may be military or a nuclear facility. Next one up. Praying for Jesus. Just in, the report comes in, says Iran's Supreme National Security Council has approved a tenfold increase in the number of strikes against Israel if Netanyahu decides to retaliate. Well, what did we just hear? The decision's been made. All right. So where this is going to lead? We're just going to have to wait and see. Next one up. Iran says, quote, we are crazier than you realized, and we are fully ready for war. Financial Times, it says Iran's message was clear. We are crazier than you realize, and we are prepared to bear the consequences of a full-blown war if necessary. So Iran has now put their air defense systems on full and high alert. All right, we move on to the next headline. The Israeli Mossad says if the internal discussions inside of Israel, the things that are being, you know, we're talking about on Twitter and all that kind of stuff, like right now, if they were known to the people of Israel, according to this particular Mossad representative who has the last name of Zion, anyway, he says that 4 million people in Israel would rush to the airport. By the way, that sounds an awful lot like Luke 21, verse 20. Read it again. Next time. Next one up. Russia's Sergei Shoigu says, quote, if Israel launches a retaliatory attack, Russia will participate. Iranian regime-affiliated media Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu announced in a letter to the United States Department of Defense that if Israel launches a possible retaliatory attack against Iran, Russia will also participate in the Iranian counterattack. That's why I have a red album by Jack Van Impe when he looked like he was 15, right here in my office, a 33.5 LP, and on the outside it says, The Coming War with Russia. Hey, Jack, if you're up there with the cloud of witnesses looking down, I'm giving you a thumbs up. Way to go, buddy. You're on it, pal. God bless you. All right, next one up. The Israel Air Force has compelled preparations for a full attack. The Israeli Air Force has completed its preparations for an imminent attack. Imminent. What does that mean? Quantitatively explain to me what imminent means, what soon means. We can't. It drives me crazy. All right, next headline up. Thank you, Jesus. Russia moves hypersonic missile warship to the Middle East. What do you know? So Russia has moved a supersonic or hypersonic missile warship to the Middle East following Iran's attack on Israel. So they're getting ready to kind of like, you know, chip in a little bit. And they've gotten an awful lot of help from the Iranian war machine dealing with the American CIA attacking Russia from the Ukraine. All right, next up, hallelujah. Israel will call it Operation Iron Shield. So they, you know, they felt kind of good about it. They thought about it and said, you know, let's call it Operation Iron Shield. Yeah. That's what we're going to call it. They could have called it Operation Destruction of Israel, but, you know, there's those pesky Old Testament Bible prophecies. But whatever. All right, so the next one up is... Israel war cabinet decides to strike deep inside of Iran. So they take another photograph of the war cabinet meeting. There's Netanyahu sitting to the side, and everybody's talking about what are we going to do. And the breaking news is Israel's war cabinet meeting has ended, and the cabinet decided to strike inside of Iran, which should begin, and I do quote, Israeli TV Channel 12, which should begin as soon as possible. Next headline up. Israel Chief will staff Halevi, Israel Chief of Staff Halevi says attack will not likely happen until after Passover. All I got to say is we shall see. They're here. Next one up. Not confirmed. There's my warning. Nukes are being loaded on the B-52s. I'm telling you right now, I was unable to confirm this report. Therefore, now you might say, wait a minute. I was in the military, and they never load up nukes. They never put nukes on anything. They never load nukes on a ship. They never do any of that kind of stuff. It's considered top secret. Nobody ever knows. That's a fact. But guess what? We are not living in those days anymore. We like to display what we're doing, don't we? Uh-huh. Next one up. Hezbollah launched drones against Israel today. So we have more war activities going on and more things being shot down, even as we're working on our day jobs. The next one up. Russian ICBM is pulled into position. According to this headline, it says, Russia just brought an ICBM into position. It is ready if some politicians think that they are smart and want to call their bluff. This particular person here says, if the U.S. participates in the attacks against Iran, Russia will participate in the attacks against Israel. So they're pulling their mobile ICBMs into place. See, unlike us, we dug them into a pit. Russia said, nah, that ain't very smart. Once they figure out where all the, you know, ICBMs are hidden, Montana, whatever, once they figure where they're at, how easy is it to blow them up? Russia just made all theirs mobile. Oh, well. Anyway, next one up. United States shot down most of the drones and missiles. Well, that's what they're claiming, but who's telling the truth? Next one up. North Korea is testing a highly destructive missile, and these particular missiles are capable of reaching the United States, according to this report. The United States expressed deep concern that North Korea is conducting tests of a highly destructive weapon capable of reaching the United States. Gee whiz, I wonder if that's a hypersonic missile that they got from Russia. No, I don't. I don't wonder anything of the sort. Next one up. The United States Navy catches fire in engine room while delivering aid to Gaza. Imagine that. And they show the ship on fire. I wonder to myself, is that what really caused the fire? I was in the Navy a long time riding around on ships. I'm not thinking that's why it's on fire. Next one up. Ex-Mossad officer, Israeli Mossad officer, says striking Iran's nuclear facilities is not off the table. And they show a map with the Fordow facility. There's actually several of them. There's three major nuclear facilities. One of them is Fordow, which seems to be the one that Dr. David O'Rourke in 2012, when he was in Austria, was prophesying about and saw in the vision. Next one up. United Nations fears Iran nuclear site strike. Well, guess what? They ought to. All right, praise Jesus, hallelujah. Next one up. All right, massive rallies break out in Japan against the World Health Organization's pandemic treaty that everybody's going to sign, believe it or not, in May, which is only a couple of weeks away. And once we sign that, guess what? They can knock our doors down with battering rams. They can take our children away from us. They can hold us down and stick needles in our arms, and they can put us on FEMA camps. So we all better prepare ourselves for what's coming, because it's evil as Satan himself. Next one up. Thank you, Jesus. Massive downpour lightning strike kills 26 people in Pakistan. Where else can you go in the world to have 26 people get hit with a lightning bolt and die? Also, Dubai is getting some of the worst floods it has had in many, 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 many decades. I do not know how many, but it's a whole lot of them. All right. Now, this is an Assyrian pastor that is located in, in Australia. All right. And I have a buddy who is Assyrian in
of the United States of America. Don't ever let any fools to come into the White House anymore. If you want to remain as humans with dignity, with respect, you need to come back to Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom America has forgotten in recent years.
Amen.
You have introduced laws that are in absolute and complete offense to the Almighty Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen, because the Antichrist is in the White House.
You want to remain glorious. You want to remain mighty and go against the Lord. You're dreaming. You are dreaming.
All right, so you heard this guy. That was an Assyrian pastor, and I know about that because I have a friend who listens to the radio show. His name is Chamil. His wife is Hedia. They have two boys, and they live in Belgium. And they fled for their lives with a large group of other Assyrians from the land of Turkey to get away from the terrible things that were happening to them there. And they set up their new life in Belgium. Okay, so I am familiar with the whole Assyrian thing a little bit. I'm not an expert by any stretch. Well, the sad part about this is this same guy that you just heard preaching got attacked, and here is the audio from that. This is awful. This is bad. But anyway, let's listen to this. Okay, so I will narrate what happened. So he was up there preaching. I don't know what language that was that he was using at the time. And a man who appeared to be of Muslim descent walked straight up to him and started rapidly stabbing him as fast as he could. I do not know if the man is still alive. Just sharing. Just letting you know, folks, what's happening. There's also another report that there's going to be a 10 times increase in the attacks. Once Israel responds to Iran, expect a 10 times increase in attacks. All right, next headline up. protest outside the Georgian capital. And these are all over the world, folks. These are all over the world. But let's listen in on this because it's serious stuff. It's happening all over the world. I don't know how many people are there, but it's an awful lot, folks. And these things, like I said, it's a worldwide phenomenon, just like Jesus said. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Next one up. Some Tesla factory workers realized that they were laid off. 10% of the Tesla workforce was laid off at a particular location, and the way they found out was their badges didn't work. Hello, Elon. That was pretty mean of you. The right way to do it, Elon, is you're supposed to let people know in advance that they're going to get laid off. Good grief. You think that God have a little bit more couth than that, but oh well. What, look at the time. Just read your Bible. Look where we are. All right, praise God. Next one up. President of Belgian health insurance company promotes euthanasia as a solution for the aging population. Oh, just grab all the people that have white hair, put them in a wheelchair, and roll them into a big gas chamber at Treblinka. That's exactly what these people are talking about. This is the definition of eugenics. This is the definition of what Nazi Germany during World War II was doing. It's called eugenics. You take the old, you take anybody who is a useless eater, and you kill them. All right, next one up. Edward Snowden says the National Security Agency days away from monitoring 100% of all traffic on the Internet. All traffic on the Internet. Why? Because that creature that calls itself Johnson, that was placed as the Speaker of the House in the Republican House of Representatives, I don't know, just makes me want to regurgitate all over the place. How did they get him in there? He has to be part of, quote, the family. If you have not seen the documentary entitled The Family on Netflix, then you do not understand. Even Obama. Obama attended The Family. We know who Obama is, don't we? We know who Obama is, don't we? All right. And now, thanks to Johnson, he was the one vote that could have stopped them from doing it, but he decided to let them go through with the Surveillance Act, so now that they can surveil every single thing we do without a FISA warrant. Okay, so Johnson has betrayed every single human being that lives in the United States of Babylon the Great. Welcome to Babylon the Great. Next one up. Massive protest at Steel Building in Pittsburgh. And again, it's the same noise. It's the same chanting. It's the same craziness. It's happening all over the world. Another headline reads, undetectable drone in use by Iran. So they have a new drone that is very deadly. And this particular one cannot be spotted by the radar systems that the United States uses. Okay, another headline reads, Americans panic because they are now searching the Internet as fast as they can about the start of World War III and whether or not they can be drafted. Whoa. So they see it coming, folks. Praise God. And the last one is, floods kill 58 people in Tanzania with heavy rains persisting. There's also floods that are taking place in China. There's also horrible, horrible, horrible floods that are taking place in Russia. The situation is really bad, but it has nothing to do with carbon in the air. It has nothing to do with the cows. It has nothing to do with the animals and the eggs and the chicken and all the other things that we're being lied about by the Global Satanic Crime Syndicate. It has everything to do with Planet X and the seven planets that orbit around it. That is why in 2 Esdras chapter 15 verse 40, it talks about the horrible star. 2 Esdras was inside the original 1611 King James Bible. Okay, it's also mentioned in Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 7 as the destroyer of nations. It's mentioned in the Colbran Egyptian Bible as the destroyer. It's mentioned in the Sumerian text as Nibiru. It has seven orbiting planets, and that's exactly what caused the eclipse. It was not a lunar eclipse, and don't even get me going on what's going on in CERN. And on that note, let's bring on our awesome, beloved, super cool brother in Christ who's unstoppable. I mean, this guy should wear a Superman cape with Jesus on it, in my opinion, because he goes, as far as I'm concerned, Brother Sammy Mwangi goes, where no man would ever go before the things that are happening now today on the earth. It is a dangerous place, and he goes to the most dangerous places. So let's bring him on and get a testimony of all the things that have been going on with Pipes International. That's P-I-P-E-S, like pipes in a house, international, one word, pipesinternational.org. They are beyond awesome. Praise God. Let's bring them on. Brother Sammy, are you there?
I'm here, John. Buona asifiwe.
Hey, buona asifiwe. Hey, you got to teach me how to, I need to learn how to say, please, Mr. Lion, don't eat me. Can you teach me that one?
Yeah, I will teach you later.
Okay, teach me later. All right. Go ahead. It's all.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Once again, John, today I know I just came up the last minute and I realized I've been quite busy because I had gone in March and I had a trip to Kenya, Tanzania, and Congo. And Congo right now, as you say, John, it's so chaotic right now. I visited a family and there were more than 30 people because they have ran away from different places. So each family is having in one house and you can't even wonder even how people are sleeping or eating. It was so difficult for me just to see what's going on. With the M23 fighting and taking up cities, coming all the way now close to Goma. It wants to take over Goma City, and it's just so chaotic. Let's pray for Congo. We just, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, during my trip there, I was able to go to Idri Island. In fact, I was happier in Idri. It was more safer for me because it's an island in Lake Kivu. And not too much fighting going on. Nobody really cares about that island, so nobody goes there really. And there are no people, there are no NGOs there, literally. It's just difficult for the kids there to go to school. But I was very happy to go and complete the school that we've been working on and, you know, make a prayer to start off. The kids can now use the school without any problems now. 300 kids will be able to use the 6 classrooms that we have. They have many more others, but, you know, we have to do with the 300 for now. But we are so, so grateful that, you know, when I, we put the desks there and the kids would sit on a desk and put their table, I mean, their books on the little table there, it was just so amazing because they have never used a desk before. They just sat on forms and their legs were the table for their books. An amazing experience just to witness what those kids, the joy with those kids. But John, today I just wanted to mention to our listeners that we are now celebrating 12 years. We started our ministry in October of 2011, but it's 2012 when we officially, you know, kicked off everything. So 2012 was our first full year. 2023 was our a full 12 year, and then we started working to celebrate. So this Saturday, April 20th, we are going to celebrate. We actually do have some people coming from out of state, and some of them had me on John's radio, Tribulation Now. So I'm excited to see some of them on Saturday, this Kathy O'Connor and others, and I'm looking forward just to share with them and just to remember how it all started. I still remember with Jean Chapel, who is now going to be Jesus, but she read a book that I had, The Pygmy World, and she was so touched by the stories, you know, how women are raped in the forest, the pygmy women there, how kids are picked from their homes and they are taken to the forest and they are working for those militia groups. And there are many, it's not one. There are so many militia groups. And they told me stories that were horrible stories. Families were so devastated. So when Jean read that book, she wrote to John and said, you know, you need to pray for Samuel. He's a missionary. And then John said, I would like to talk to him. And, you know, it's just amazing, amazing. During the banquet, you know, we did a small booklet, and I was looking at the timeline for the 12 years. You know, starting with nothing and now with the 2 schools in Congo, with Bible study, multiple Bible study groups in 6 different countries, including Pakistan, You know, we do have a facility coming up for Bible study and conference for pastors. We'll be teaching them. Four sewing schools in Pakistan, Rwanda, and Burundi. You know, thousands of people have heard the gospel. Thousands have been saved, educated, trained, and so many of them are also now sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I was looking at that timeline, and I was like, this is not about man. This is the doing of God, and the Lord has been so gracious over the years. Jonah, now that you mentioned about Pakistan, and I think I had sent you a prayer item. This pastor called Asif is one of the pastors who hosts us. He's a little bit out of Lahore in a place called Gujarawada. And so the other last week, somebody accused him of burning a Quran. And this is false accusation, you know. And this happens a lot in Pakistan. If somebody has an issue with you, they don't like you, or maybe they are trying to buy something from you and you don't want to sell to them, or pastor, you know, people will just accuse you. So this pastor was accused of burning a Quran, and they even had a video, and he's not even in the video. They are saying he's the one burning. And we were like, okay, so why not showing the video of him? But they have been investigating. He was in jail for a few days. So we've been praying. I mobilized people for prayer. And just yesterday, they released him because they could not find any evidence.
They released him?
God. Yes, they released
him
yesterday.
Him?
I just got the message.
Yay!
Yes, he's now.
Yes.
Amen.
I can. Hey,
yes.
Listen. Hey, bro. Listen. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am just to so you can see. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep a list of people that I pray for,
mm-hmm.
and I'm taking a screenshot. All right.
Oh.
And I'm going to hit share, and I'm
mm-hmm.
going to send it to you in your SMS messenger. So hold on a second. Let me find Sammy. Sammy's right here. Here we go. Sending it to Sammy. Come on. Take it. Yeah, there we go. I just send. Sammy, now, if you have the image in your text messenger, it's in the color red. Okay. If you click on that image and you look about the fifth name down in that list, there's Pastor Asif.
Yeah.
I've been from every morning.
Wow.
I'm saying hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus.
So much. So
I'm telling you, this is the power of prayer.
Yes, God answers our prayers. He was released. They were so afraid about what would happen. In fact, because I got text messages from so many Christians there, they had gone into hiding. People had left that small, it's called Salem. They call it them colonies. It's like a small city or a small village. And they had left the Christians because they thought the next thing, the Muslims are going to attack all the Christians. Homes. And so now people are getting back, and Asif said he will stay with another family a little bit because, you know, the tension was so high, but he is so grateful to God. So it is a risky ministry. People are doing ministry and sharing Christ in very, very difficult circumstances where you can die for doing nothing. You know, you'll be accused of burning a Quran, and you've not even had one, and you will die. But we thank God that he was released. And thank you, John, for prayers, and thank you for sharing with others. And anyway, I was saying today.
I wanted to see, you know what I mean? It makes a big difference. Somebody can say, oh, yeah. Like I was on the phone. I had some serious problems. It's a long story. I'm not going to tell the story, but basically I called this ministry for help, and the woman who answered the phone, you know, after we talked about it, this guy wanted to charge me like $5,000 just for giving me some advice. I ain't joking you. And then the secretary goes, well, I'm sorry we couldn't help you, but I'll pray for you. And I said, I just want you to know that the Revelation says that all liars will be sent to hell. So you better pray for me. And she got real quiet. But, yeah. That's just too awesome, man. I'm so happy. And Lahore, Pakistan, like the worst place in all of Pakistan. It's right on the other side of the Kashmir area, and there's constantly bombs being lobbed, you know, over the area back and forth into Lahore. It's a very dangerous place. People sleep out in the middle of the summer. They will sleep in the street. because the temperature is so high and they have rolling blackouts and their actual power plant is located on a ship in the water. Okay, and then they run the electricity to people's houses, and then they have like a battery backup in each one of the houses so that they can run fans and get some airflow in their bedrooms. Otherwise, they can't sleep because it gets to be like 130, 140 degrees Fahrenheit inside the houses. So if their battery backup fails, they grab their bedding and they go out and lay in the dirt streets so that they can try to get some sleep. Lahore is the most, probably one of the most dangerous places on the earth next to some of the places in the DRZ. I mean, it's bad.
I have been in two of the most dangerous places. That is Goma and Lahore. Goma in Congo and Lahore in Pakistan, those are dangerous. They say Goma City, which we have ministry there, is the worst place for a woman to live because women just get raped and they don't even see like it's anything. You know, that's what it is. But we have done our best to make sure that people are cared for, people are prayed up, and God is doing something. So, as we celebrate 12 years on Saturday, I just want to say a big thank you to John for all the help he's helped us over the years, the support that he has. And he sent so many people our way, you know, people asking him, where can we make a donation? And John says, Pipes International. And people donate, and I say, how did you get to know about us? He said, oh, it's John the Baptist who told me about you. So, John, thank you so much. And you brought people our way, and you're so grateful to God.
Yeah, I told the Lord, Sammy, how you have conversations with the Lord, you know, not sometimes it's in prayer, sometimes it's just casual conversation stuff, you know, but I said to the Lord, I said, Father, you know, as long as you keep me gainfully employed, as I, and I don't mean gain necessarily, but as long as you keep my lights on so I can do the radio show, pay for the radio show and serve you, I will serve you. So all I ask for you to do, Father, the only thing is to protect my job, you know, because I did not want to take any tithes or any offerings or any contributions. I don't want anyone's money. And the reason is, as you know, now this isn't something that you have to worry about because you're very singular focused on saving people's souls over in Africa and Pakistan and other places. But my situation is different. And people will use tithing as leverage to get you to say things that you don't believe in or talk about topics that you want to talk about. And I wanted to answer only to God, not to some human giving me tithe. You know what I mean, bro?
Yeah, very much. Wow. So
how would you like it if somebody called you up? Sammy, how would you like it if somebody called you up and said, I'm going to give you a $200,000 tithe, but I want you to go to Wuxi, China for a while. You know, you're going to be like, Wuxi, China?
There was an organization that someone had introduced us to, and we would raise money through them. And then one day they said, you people are requiring people to pray. You cannot do that. And we said, you know what? Just cancel a contract. Yeah, if people need to pray, they need to pray, and that was the end of us and that organization.
Check it out. So when the Satanists, which is something that I studied a long time ago, but when the Satanists take over a church, and they usually go after churches that are over 50 people in the congregation. So if you're over 100, 200, 300. 100, 500. What happens is the local witch covens get together. Satan shows up. You know, even Satan can, you know, he actually goes to the witch coven meetings, and then he gives them instructions. He says, I want you there to go over and infiltrate that church. I want you over there to go over and infiltrate that church. And what they do is they go in and they speak. It's fake speaking in tongues. It's not real speaking in tongues. And they go in and they get on the board of directors, and the first thing they do is eliminate prayer night.
Wow. Can you imagine?
So you got nailed, bro. You got nailed by a Satanist organization. That's how you know. When they tell you to stop praying, bam, you know it's Satan.
Yep, that's it. Whoever you are, however much money you keep your money, will continue to praising and praying to our God, you know. So, John,
well, that
John,
ain't ever
going
to happen.
Yeah, I know there are people who listen to us many years, and the others who are still coming and learning about Pipes International. I just want to encourage us during this 12th anniversary. I don't always say this, but, you know, we would like you to consider just a donation for the 12th anniversary. We'll appreciate that. We'll be able to continue on with our God has called us to. When I went to this trip in Africa, I met so many kids that were needing scholarships in schools and all that, and I'm putting something together where people can actually give child scholarships to these kids so that they can finish their education. There was one girl in the Maasai that I met. She is 14 years old in Kenya among the Maasai people who are very traditional. She has a child. She got pregnant when she was 12 years old. She got a baby last year. Now she is 14 in grade 8 with a baby. She is an orphan herself, stays with her grandmother. And I had an interview with her, and I was like, man, I would be so overwhelmed. But this girl is holding up there. She wants to continue with education, and she wanted us to help her, you know, with education. So I have so many stories like those. That, you know, we need to support these kids with education. It's just like $40 a month, and that changes somebody's life. John, let me add with this. You know, I met another boy in Congo, Idri Island. He was just carrying my camera, and I was like, after an hour or so, we had a discussion. I asked him, what do you do? Are you done with school? And he told me he dropped out of grade 10 because he could not afford $17 a month. The parents could not get $17 for him. So for 3 years, he's been out of school. I asked him, so what do you want to do now with your life? He said, I'm just waiting one day. I go back to school. Wow. I was like, man, he wants to go grade 11 and 12 and finish his high school. And I told him, you know what? When I get back to the U.S., we'll sort you out, and you get back to school in May when they open up. And it was so touching. 22 years old boy, you know, he's been home, I guess, maybe he's been in and out of school for some time now. Because he's 22, he should be in university completing, but he's now going to start grade 11 again. So, John, it's stories like those that I am really appreciative that through you we connect with people who can help kids like those. So I think I'll edit there, and I'll just remind people, pipesinternational.org. If you can go there between now and Saturday or this week and just make a donation, it will really go into schools, education, and continued evangelism as we do. So God bless you, John.
That's awesome. Praise God, folks. And I say this all the time, but, you know, it's so worth repeating. We've been listening. Okay, you know, for example, you know, oh, gosh, there's so much you can talk about in regard to this. Like, a lot of people have studied, you know, John G. Lake and his letters from South Africa and other missionaries that have gone over to Africa, and they always complain because whenever they went back, the natives that they had proselytized had gone back into pagan worship. And I was talking to a brother in Christ who knew a little bit about missionary work, and he said, so you know a guy from Africa, and he's a black man, you know, an African man, you know what I mean? And he's over there doing missionary work. He goes, that's absolutely brilliant. The people are going to actually listen to him. And I was like going, I never thought of it that way before, you know, because I don't see color. You know, we're all one color, you know, man, woman, Jew, Gentile, slave or free. We're all one in Christ, you know, so I don't even think about it. But, you know, it's actually brilliant because it's like the American Indian. The American Indians don't inherently trust the white man. They don't. Why? Because we stole all their stuff. You know what I mean? But it's just absolutely an awesome opportunity, folks, because here you have a chance to bypass all of those true stories that we've all heard about organizations like UNICEF. Even now, the Red Cross has been getting a really bad black eye. They've been caught in some serious fraudulent events all over the place, Haiti, and different places. So anyway, my point is this. Wouldn't you like to know Wouldn't you really like to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that your contributions are going to the actual people that are going into the mud? Idri Island, folks. I've seen the pictures. I've seen the mud huts. I don't even know how anybody can do it. And Sammy, I think you need a pet kitty. I think you need to get a lion and a big chain and make it your pet. And then you don't have to worry about nothing, because if anybody gives you any stuff, you just say, you know, here, kitty, kitty. And your kitty will come around the corner and they'll be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was only joking, man. It was just a joke. It was just a here, kitty. But that's just an idea that came to me. Maybe it's not feasible. I don't know. But anyway, this is a great opportunity, folks. Through PayPal, through other payment services that Sammy has on their website, you can contribute, and the money goes right into the ministry. And it doesn't get any better than that. Nobody's skimming off the top. 98% isn't paying $1 million salary for the CEO. None of that weirdness. This is awesome. It's a great opportunity to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're really making a big, big difference in people's lives in the name of Jesus. Sammy is all about Jesus, and the whole operation is incredible. Thank you, Sammy, so, so much for coming on the show tonight. I'm glad you hit me up at the last minute. This was a fun discussion, and at the same time, an opportunity that a lot of people might not know about. And I just wanted to thank you so much for getting in touch with me tonight. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Okay, now I need to know, not just Bona Asafiwi, but please, Mr. Lion, don't eat me, okay? So work on that one for me, and then we'll get together, okay? Because I'm thinking about selling my house and coming over there. I don't know. Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. I'm getting tired of being stuck here in Tampa. But anyway, God bless you, brother. We'll see you soon. Thank you. All right. Praise Jesus. And on that note, let's go ahead and bring on Brother Robert Vandrius Mitchell. Praise Jesus. Here we go. All right. And I believe this is him. Is this you, Robert? Okay. So we're not getting any response on this line. Once again, I'll ask, is this you, Robert? Okay, so I'm going to put that one back on hold. That is an international call coming in, which there's nothing wrong with. You know, a lot of folks have, you know, if they're in other countries other than the United States of Babylon, it's rather interesting to take note that, you know, people that are in other countries other than the United States oftentimes have very affordable international calling plans. Okay, so sometimes we do see international phone numbers show up on the call doc. Let me jump over real quick and just see. I'm going to go to Facebook Messenger. I know that there was a big explosion. Now, I don't – please tell me they're not going to do this. Okay, here, I'm going to sign in like this, see if it lets me go ahead. Because all these social media sites are adding – oh, sure enough. Enter the PIN into your – okay, hold on a second. They just sent me a PIN to my phone. They're all adding what they call dual-factor authentication. Oh, wait a minute. It didn't come. Hold on. Let me go to the Messenger app. Maybe it's inside the app. Oh, how much fun. No. It says – hold on a second. It says, now I have to call in by phone as my Skype will not work. Well – okay, and I never did get the PIN. Let's see, it says for security, chat history will no longer appear automatically on new devices. Use a one-time code instead. And it says that the code has been sent. Oops, there's a code, it looks like. And I'm saying this was me. Okay, there's the code. Let me type it in. Okay, hopefully you didn't understand that. That was a strange Namibian dialect that I used, right? No, I'm kidding. Okay, so anyway, so remember this browser will say yes. Okay, and all right, I'm going up to Robert's communication, and it says, now I have to call in by phone as my Skype does not work. So that tells me that this very well might be Brother Robert calling in from Wales, okay, because it's got – here, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull a browser over here, and I'm going to type this number in real quick. I'm not going to say it out loud because I'm sure he doesn't want to be woken up in the middle of the night by excited people. Hold on a second. 2, 3, 5, 9, 8. All right. Leave off some of the digits. Wow. That phone number is a FedEx tracking number. How did that end up on the call doc? But no, it's not. It's not telling me. Oh, I know what it is. Okay. But anyway, let me try one more time here. Hold on a second. All right. Hold on a second. All right, Brother Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, can you there hear me? You are. Yes, I can hear
yes.
you. What was the big explosion that happened in Wales today? I saw something in the news that in Wales there was some kind of a facility or something that exploded. Did you hear about it?
I have not heard today any news. So what you are
telling
me is new to me.
Yeah. So let me see here. Let me see what I get. Explosion in Wales. Explosion in South Wales today. That's what it says. Okay. So it says Glasgow. It's from the BBC Glasgow. It says explosion at BAE Systems in Monmouthshire. Site, and then another from the Daily Express says South Wales explosion, firefighters rush to BAE Systems military weapons base there in Wales. So we need, Robert, if you would, please go ahead and grab your satellite phone, call us back and jump on a horse and ride over there and tell us what you see. Would you do that for us?
If I do. But
I could,
yeah, there are some facilities here in Wales, so yeah, that I'm not surprised. I wonder if it is sabotage.
It says even Wales Online. The Telegraph, which is a British newspaper, as you know, says explosion at the BAE Systems factory in South Wales. This is the Telegraph. It says an explosion has occurred at a military weapons factory in South Wales. And then it goes on and gives me like 5 billion advertisements. So that ain't going to help. I'm going to have to hit the back button. It's all over. It's all over.
Yeah.
Major incident, cloud explosion, South Wales. You seeing this stuff? Are you seeing it?
Yes. I
don't know
I
if
you the article.
It's crazy. Yeah,
I
it's crazy. Reuters is saying.
I'm not surprised in the time that we are in with Russia and all the other stuff going on. And Putin had already came. Britain warning, if he wants, he can nuke the UK with his, missile that can go underwater, Satan,
right.
or something, that he threatens the UK with.
No, that's the actual name is not the Satan missile. Okay, so for the record, that's a nickname that they gave the missile, but that is not the actual name. The name is the Samat 2, SAMAE space number 2, the Samat 2. It's extremely impressive. It is a hypersonic intercontinental ballistic missile that has multiple independent reentry vehicles, each with a thermonuclear bomb on the end of it, and every one of them is independently programmable. So the Samat 2 can fly across Europe in the 15 or 20 minutes, and nobody can shoot it down. And on its way across Europe, as a matter of fact, I believe it was Putin and Shoigu that had said, no, it might have been Medvedev, but they said that with one Samat 2 missile, they could take out every single NATO facility between here and Ireland, or between the Russian Federation and Ireland, every single one of them with one missile. And there's nothing we could do about it. We can't stop it. We can't see it. We can't do nothing about it. One. And they got a bunch of them.
Yes, and we still got idiot leaders that are poking the bear with all the consequences from it. So yeah.
Well, they are.
And, yes, I said that's what we are now doing, at least the leaders. And then we have, of course, Iran and Israel kicking up. Of course, Netanyahu needs a war in order to stay in power.
Because well, you heard what Israel said. Hmm? You heard what Israel said, didn't you?
Yes,
Israel said
back
they are going to attack deep in Iran.
Time. In their own time.
Well, no, that's not what they said. Brother, I swear, we're not supposed to swear, so I'll just say, I promise you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that Israel's war cabinet said as soon as possible. Now, there was another Israelite who said that they might wait till after Passover, which means they wouldn't do anything until roughly... Oh, about 10 days from now. I don't know what the truth is. I would not at all be surprised if they attack while we're sleeping tonight.
Yes. And so, yeah, we have to wait and see. And it's insane, but it is all in the Bible. So, yeah, we cannot be as Christians be surprised about it because it is written in the book of Revelation.
Well, as a matter of fact, let me share something. This is a total mind-blowing thing. So we had on the radio show, let me see if I can find it, because if I can find it, you're going to want to listen to it. All right, YouTube.com, hold on a second. Zechariah nuclear missile. Hold on. Okay. Oh, wow. It is there. Okay, so it's in three parts, and it's entitled Nuclear War Prophecy Revealed Will Blow Your Mind, Part 1 of 3. And this is a person who we have brought on the radio show, and what the person does is they cover the book of Zechariah, you know, where the woman is in what they called some kind of an ephod or something like that. Anyway, they looked at the translation of that part of Zechariah, and they were able to confirm that Zechariah is not talking about what people think it is. It's talking about nuclear missiles. Okay, so let me see if I can find it in the text. Concordance, I'm going to say woman. I'm just going to search on the word woman, and I'm going to search inside the book of Zechariah because I have that kind of computing power. Thank you, Jesus. Hold on a second. There's James. I need to go back. There it is, Zech. Wait, that's Zephaniah. There's Zechariah. All right, and then hold on. Let me find Zechariah, and this it allows you to give it a range. There it is. So I want to see anything has to do with a woman in the book of Zechariah. Ah, there it goes. So it goes, listen to this. A vision of a woman in the basket. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said, lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth. See what this is that goes forth. So I asked, what is it? And he said, it's a basket and it's going forth. He also said, there is the... This is their resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a lead disc, L-E-A-D, so I'm not sure how to pronounce it, disc lifted up. This is a woman sitting inside of a basket. Then he said, this is wickedness. And he thrust her down into the basket through the lead cover over his mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with wind on their wings. They had wind like wings of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between the earth and the heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, where are they carrying the basket? And he said to them, to build a house for it to land up to the the land of Shinar, where it is ready, and the basket will be set there on its base. Now, I'm going to stop right there and let you know that if you go to YouTube and you search on, I would type in nuclear war prophecy revealed, nuclear war prophecy revealed, hyphen, will blow your mind, part one of three. Watch all three of those and you're going to be blown away, because this person meticulously translates the Hebrew, takes a second look at how it's translated and says, do you know what, folks? This is not describing a woman sitting in a basket. It is describing a nuclear missile.
Yes, and unfortunate, most, as you know, most power politicians are not humans. They are demons in a meat suit. So they got nothing to lose.
Hey, guys.
No, I know. That's true.
So, so long we got that type of people in power. And also, yeah, the Bible talks about it, because it was already said in various parts of the Bible. So, yeah, let's wait and see what will happen with Israel and Iran, and, of course, with Russia against the West. I wonder what China will do.
I don't know, but Russia has overtly, Russia has come forward to the entire world, and Russia has said, I think what they said, if I got it accurate, but I also believe that what they said is subject to change, so they might change their mind. But I believe what they said is that if the United States gets involved with the exchange between Israel and Iran, that Russia is going to join in on to, you know, with Iran. They're going to join Iran and they're going to attack the United States and attack Israel with Iran. They're going to join Iran completely. Does that make sense?
Yes, I heard something similar on the news. But so far, the Biden government has apparently already said that they will not get involved. So they say, of course. We all know behind the scenes, our soldiers and special forces are already there in Israel and around the other countries around. So, no matter what Biden will say, we all know that it's a lie, because it is the deep state with the military industrial complex that is in control over the White House and the rest of the government and Congress. I heard something similar today on the news as well with Putin. If we attack together with Israel, Iran, then they will jump on the side of Iran and they will attack with Iran back Israel and the U.S. So, yeah, we only can hope and pray for cooler heads to prevail, but that's all what we can do for now.
Well, if you're like me, now this is my own personal opinion, I could be wrong, but I strongly do not think that is the case. I believe that I am 100% correct that Netanyahu wants to start World War III, and he is working with the world. He's working with the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, the United Nations, you know, Trudeau out of Canada, you know, the 9-foot-tall Draco reptilian that refers to itself as Hillary. He's working with them to cause World War III.
Yes.
To make it happen.
And there's another reason, because if you have to step down, he knows you have to answer before the courts because of a couple of corruption cases. So he will prolong this war as long as he can. So he's not going to give up, and he's certainly not going to seek out peace. Because if he seek out peace and get peace, then there will be new elections in Israel, and his party and him will lose. So he got only things to gain so long he can keep the war going and get even deeper into the war. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's the situation in this case with Netanyahu. And it's incredible with the Christians in the West, in particular in the U.S., how blind they are about the whole thing with Israel. I know that the churches have been completely taken over by the Freemasonic and deep state agents. So it is no wonder. Yeah, there's a lot of Zionist pastors and all. But it is so incredible to see how a lot of the evangelical Christians are so blinded what the Bible has stated. But yeah, you already said a couple of months
ago
that most Christians,
they go
to the church and they listen to the pastor, and when they get home, they don't read the Bible themselves. So, and that is how the flock can be kept under control, sadly enough.
Well, here, hold on a second. I don't know how many minutes this is, but I think it's only about maybe 2 or possibly 3 minutes, so it's very short. But this little miniature teaching is approximately, as I recall, because I put this teaching inside of my 400 PowerPoint slide presentation that I made before I stood up the website Tribulation Now. So it would have been about 2008 or maybe 2007. Now, let me just play this, okay? So it's one of the most concise and impressive explanations of what's going on right now. All right, so I'm going to double-click and bring it up.
We've known throughout history that if Christians...
Wait, wrong one, wrong one. Wrong one. Okay, hold on. Let me focus my eyes here. Babylonian Talmud, no. Stu Peters, no. Talmud references Jesus, no. Talmud says Talmudic law. Oh, I know where I put it. My bad. All right, hold on. I got to go to my Google Drive. I'll be there in a jiffy pop, so hang in there for me. I've got terabytes of storage, and it's not easy to find things when you got terabytes of storage. Trust me.
I know.
Okay, so it's so hard to find things. So I have it in Share Large Files, and it's coming up. And now
I know the problem. It's
absolutely blisteringly difficult. So K-H-A-R, there it is. Ah, okay, now I'm going to play this. Listen to this.
Yet even before Maimonides came on the scene,
hold
in the 12th
on a second.
Century, another dilemma was being created in Judaism.
That's not loud enough.
This was a dilemma not concerning the doctrines of the Jews, but over who actually was a Jew.
All right, hold on a second.
Yet even before Maimonides came on the scene in the 12th century, another dilemma was being created in Judaism far to the east. This was a dilemma not concerning the doctrines of the Jews, but over who actually was a Jew.
In their articles on Khazars, the Jewish encyclopedias tell us that in the 8th century A.D., Jewish missionaries ventured north of Babylon to the land of the Khazars between the Caspian and the Black Seas. Khazaria was a vast grassland on what is now the plains of southern Russia, inhabited by a race of merchants, artisans, and warriors of Hunnish Turkish stock. About 740 A.D., the king of the Khazars converted to Judaism and made it the state religion. Incredibly, within a few centuries, the people of Khazaria convinced themselves that they were not Gentiles after all, but the physical descendants of Abraham. Thus, by the 10th century A.D., a nation of proselyte Jews thrived in what is now central Russia. During the Middle Ages, the fierce Mongols from the east and Russians from the north drove the Khazars west, out of their ancient homeland. Most settled in Eastern Europe, especially Poland, where they established communities of artisans and traders. Judaism thus became divided into two basic groups which remain today, the Ashkenazim, which are the Khazars of the East, and the Sephardic Oriental, which are Jews of Spain, Turkey, and lands bordering on the Mediterranean. Today, the Ashkenazim, or Khazars, are the vast majority, about 80% of those who call themselves Jews. The two most recent premiers of Israel illustrate these two racial types. Shimon Peres is a Sephardic Jew from authentic Jewish stock. Yitzhak Shamir, like Menachem Begin, is Ashkenazim or Khazar in origin. In Poland, these ancestors of most modern Jews thrived. In fact, they actually became more zealous Jews than their theological cousins to the west, the Sephardim. The Khazars were fascinated with that mystical aspect of Judaism called Kabbalah. Kabbalah was the Jewish form of ancient Gnosticism, a belief that God is unconscious yet everywhere, revealed in different levels of refinement throughout the universe. Of course, Judaism was always unique among ancient religions in its belief in a single conscious God, a God not only capable of creating the worlds, but of punishing evil and rewarding good. Like Eastern religions, however, the Polish Kabbalists believe that God in his purest form is utterly remote, unknowable, without opinions about right and wrong. Instead, his being filtered down through many gradations or sephirot until it reached Israel. Israel, according to the Kabbalah, was the visible, rational emanation of God in this world. Below Israel was confusion and darkness, represented by demons and the chaotic world of the Gentiles.
What excited the Khazars was that Kabbalah preached revolution. It said that Jews, as superior beings, were destined to rule the world. In the Zohar, which is the written text of Kabbalistic lore, we find the arrogance and ambition of the ancient Pharisees very much alive.
In a typical passage, the Zohar teaches, living soul refers to Israel, who have holy living souls from above, and cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth to the other peoples who are not living soul. Only by the overthrow of the Gentiles, the Zohar asserts, can Israel regain its position as God's Shekinah glory on earth. The Zohar calls Gentiles Amalekites. In a passage typical of many, the Zohar says they caused the destruction of the temple. So when God reveals himself, they will be wiped off the earth. Redemption will not be complete until Amalek will be exterminated. But once Israel shakes off Gentile dominion and Christian influence, heaven will descend to earth. The Zohar says Israel will fulfill her predestined role, ruling the world under the leadership of her Messiah.
Now, don't tell me that wasn't amazing. That goes all the way back to like 2007, I think. Maybe even earlier. That's one of the most concise,
like,
to the point.
I mean, like earlier.
It's the Jewish show in the ratings. It's their own ratings. It's their own ratings that talk about the Khazars and such. It's just amazing. And so we see that unfold.
Yeah, and the Romanovs are Khazars, while the West European Illuminati members, at least the Jewish bloodlines, they are of the Ashkenazi Jews. And that is the struggle that we see between the West European Illuminati, with the Rothschilds and the others, who are the Ashkenazi and the Romanovs, they are the Khazars.
Isn't it fascinating, the Ashkenazi Khazarian Jews that had moved into Poland? And if you have any expertise about World War II, the Polish ghettos and stuff were some of the most horrible places in the entire world during World War II Nazi Germany. So, and Poland, I do believe, now I could be wrong about this, but I think Poland was the first place that Hitler took his army and conquered without any of the world saying anything about it. Isn't that true?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't until about 3 years later, after he signed Hitler signed a bunch of treaties, that he had decided he was going to break those treaties and start taking over other parts of Europe. But Poland, he just rolled right over Poland, and he set up the ghettos in Poland and all that kind of stuff. It was really horrible, just horrible. But anyway, all kind of water under the bridge. You know, right now you can't like take a blood test. I mean, let's be for real. You can't go and take a blood test and do 23andMe and actually say, aha, you know, you're an Ashkenazim and that kind of stuff. It doesn't work like that. So unfortunately, what you got to do is, like Jesus said, look at the fruit of the tree, look at the fruit of the tree, and what do we see happening? We, you know, look, it would have been so trivial for Netanyahu. Look, we were talking, it wasn't just me, but I was on Stephen Ben Noon's channel. He is a rabbi, a Christian rabbi who lived in Israel and grew up there and all that, and they tried to kill him. So he fled to the Czech Republic, got married to a lady named Diana, and then ultimately, after many, 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 many years, he came back here to the United States. But him and I talk. He does a radio show called or a video, you know, show called Israeli News Live, and it's absolutely fabulous. And him and I share this information back and forth because he knows all about the Khazars. He knows all about the Ashkenazim. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows that it's 80% of the population. So when you see the riots that are taking place in Israel, the people that are crowded on the streets and there's no place for anybody to go, no cars to drive, and there's literally what appears to be hundreds of thousands of people, if not more, in the streets protesting to the Netanyahu government, stop this, don't do this. This is against, these are Torah Jews. These are not Talmudic Jews. They don't study the Zohar. They don't read books that tell them it's okay to have intercourse with children under the age of three and stuff like that, which is exactly what it says in the Babylonian Talmud. These writings are straight from hell. And so they are trying to usher in their Messiah, which is ultimately the Antichrist.
But, that is what is going on now. And so, yeah, unfortunately, most people, as we already said, especially with Christians being their infiltration, they don't understand and see what's going on, sadly enough.
No, they don't. I was a part of it. For 50 years, I was a part of the normal American church. And I can tell you, there is no number of churches. There is no number of hospitals. There is no number of babies that can be slaughtered. There's no limit. The American church will stand 100% behind absolutely everything that Israel does, no matter what, because they do not understand about the Khazars. They do not know that these are the synagogue of Satan that are running that country right now. And they are the ones that are going to start World War III. You heard it in the audio bite that I just played.
Yes.
In that audio bite, it said that if they don't cause world turmoil, World War III, and all that other stuff, they're not going to be able to establish control over the entire world. These are the same ones who have written the Noahide laws that require them to behead all Christians.
I know.
This is the mark of the beast in the works. Okay, we're seeing all these things happen.
If I'm correct, it was George Bush Jr., I think, who also signed, was it in 2005 or something, that he signed some of the laws with those Noahide people that came to the White House from, from Israel, it will come and they will win, and when they will succeed, then all Christians will be beheaded, and they will.
Correct, and that's why they have Noahide laws. That's why they have created the Noahide laws.
Yes.
Okay, and so it's very, very important I was talking to Reverend Tracy Shulman about this earlier today, and I told her this is my all-time most unfavorite topic to talk about. In 13, come July, 14 years of doing this radio show, I have never mentioned the Khazarian Jews. I knew about them all these 13 years. In fact, I knew about them another 3 or 4 more years past that. I knew all about it, but I never brought it up, and here's why. Because 99% of human beings that hear that story are going to generalize, and they're going to say, aha, Israel is bad. They were created by the Rothschilds. This is a setup. They are Zionists. They're bad, 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 and God's going to destroy them, and they all need to go to hell because people think with tiny, 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 tiny little peanut brains. They smash God down into a smaller than a thimble. Okay? Everything's about the earth. There's no, you know what I'm talking about. There's no life in outer space. There's nothing. It's just you, me, the human race, and planet Earth. That's it. There's nothing else. And so what happens when people think really small-mindedly, they can't understand what's actually happening right now. So they read the Old Testament prophecies about the restoration of Israel. They know that it's true because it's in the Bible, the prophecy. But what they don't understand is what is the motivation behind what is happening right now. They don't understand why Netanyahu's war cabinet would make a sudden decision, a snap decision, to go directly in and attack Iran deep. They don't know about the prophet Dr. David O'Rourke. The American church has no idea who the prophet Dr. David O'Rourke is. They do not know that he had a vision and saw the Fordow facility being attacked by nuclear bombs by Israel. They don't know that there are F-35s that have already flown sorties in underneath the Russian and Iranian radar to test to make sure that they would be able to go in and bomb Fordow with tactical nukes. The American church does not know about any of these things. So they are just blindly following whatever thing that Israel is doing, whatever thing that ends up on the news, and it doesn't matter. They're just following along. This is all good. This is all great. Never mind the hundreds of thousands and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of good Jews that are from the Sephardic side of it that are protesting in the streets, trying to depose Netanyahu, get rid of the government. Nobody ever asks the tough questions. They just go, oh, well, there's a prophecy right here. So that means everything is good. They can bomb as many hospitals as they want to. They can slaughter as many babies as they want to. It's no problem because that's the way God wants it. And I'm like, no, you don't understand what's actually going on over there. Netanyahu is starting World War III.
Yes, he does. And also he allowed, or at least including with his government, the attacks October 7th. You cannot tell me that the intelligence agencies didn't know that it was coming one day. They were even warned
yes.
by various countries, and they allowed it to happen because they wanted to kick off World War III.
Yes, if a squirrel has gas and lets one rip, the Mossad hears it in their signal intelligence. They knew it was coming years in advance.
Yes.
And don't even get me going on Operation Hannibal. What the heck is with that? And the people that are testifying that were at the music concert that came forward and said we were getting killed by our own helicopters?
Yes,
and the kibbutzes that were blown, you remember that?
That's another thing I heard, that there were a lot of Jewish people that got caught in the crossfire, and they were killed in friendly fire by their own army.
Brother, it wasn't crossfire.
But
it wasn't crossfire.
Okay. But the media,
they
the
shot
completely
them dead on purpose. They have
yes.
tanks. that rolled up to the kibbutzes and blew the heck out of the houses, and they killed the Israelites on purpose. It's called the Hannibal Direct. There's nothing accidental about it.
No, and the media in the West only blame it on the Hamas.
Hamas is like raping people. They weren't able to find one person, not one. Well, I'll tell you what, they did coerce a couple of people, and the key word there is coerce. Coerce. They were able to coerce, probably pay off, some women to come forward and say that they were raped. But let me tell you, there were news media anchors in that one kibbutz where they said that they had found babies that were beheaded. There was a news anchor, I don't know where she was from, I'm not sure, but she came forward and she told people, she said, "I feel horrible because I did not see one, not one, baby beheaded. Not one." And she admitted that she lied, that she believed the testimonies of the IDF. The IDF, unfortunately, I know more than I wish I did, but I know a lot about that kind of stuff. They've been doing horrible atrocities now for a very, 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 very long time.
We see the same scenario playing out now. If you remember in 1989, the Gulf War, when the daughter of a ambassador, if I'm correct, came forward and she spoke that the Iraqis killed babies in incubators, if you remember. That's kicked off in Kuwait.
It's a setup.
Yes. And we see now the same year. What happened on the 7th of October last year? A similar scenario.
Yep.
So long the media, the media is under complete deep state control. You and I both know that, but besides maybe a few outlets on the internet.
Well, weapons of mass destruction, bro, remember? WMD? They even had, you know, during the whole thing with reptilian shapeshifter Herbert Walker, sorry, my bad, he was definitely a shapeshifter, but I'm talking about George W. Bush. But in the book by Kathleen O'Brien entitled Transformation of America, she saw George W. Bush shapeshift into a reptilian. Now, she didn't understand
myself.
It. She thought... Oh, did you?
I started myself as well because he was one of my pedophile abusers, George Bush Sr., together with Dick Cheney. And in the UK, I had a pedophile abuser, Edward. He was also known as Ted Heath. He was the prime minister in the 70s that brought Britain into Europe. He also was, like Bush and Cheney, a shapeshifter. When I was raped as a child, they literally shapeshifted 2 feet higher than they normally were. And also Bush Jr., by the way, is a shapeshifter.
Who?
Bush Jr., that was president. The one that brought us in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Now you're talking about George W. Bush, right?
No, I'm now talking about the son of him that was president. He also
George W. Bush. Does George W. Bush have a son? I don't know
Bush,
the answer to that. I'm asking out of ignorance.
Yeah, George,
I don't know.
Bush. The son of George Bush, the son of Herbert Walker Bush. The one that was in the president, as the president with Dick Cheney, as the vice president.
Okay.
So I
know about Marvin Bush. I know about Marvin Bush and his contract with Securicom as the security director of the World Trade Centers, and how Marvin Bush allowed the Israeli Mossad to bring 10 tons of super nano. Now, this is in concert. It's in cooperation with the black ops of the United States government. So it wasn't just the Mossad. It was a joint effort. But yeah. It was Marvin Bush that allowed them to – what they did was they about 6 months before 9/11, they signed a contract to renovate – the elevator systems inside of WTC-1, WTC-2, and Building 7. And they rolled in 10 tons of super nanothermite to go inside the elevator shafts and go into where the actual 18-inch cast iron steel girders were that hold up the frame of the building, and they wrapped those at a 45-degree angle at strategic floors so that the building would collapse in a very organized way. So it collapses in on itself. And so that's why it was quickly detected by Richard Gage of Architects and Engineering Truth and a bunch of other people that were real super smart scientists. They rapidly identified the collapse of the buildings as being controlled demolition, and then they even looked at the contract of Marvin Bush and found out, surprisingly, or not so surprisingly, that the contract expired on September 11th of 2001. So they actually expired Marvin Bush's contract on September. Uh-oh, something happened here. We might have lost Robert. Give me a second. My phone battery died on me. Ah, dag nabbit. Well, we're coming down. Hold on. Let me text him. It's okay, bro. No worries. Excited about next month. See you then. Hang in there. Watch Israel. Things might get really hot very fast. Okay. Yeah, so basically the stuff. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't know this, you might as well know it. So the man named Silverstein, Silverstein was the name of the gentleman who had the insurance policy on the World Trade Centers when they were demolished, okay? And his name was Silverstein, and prior to the demolition of the buildings, he had just revised the insurance policy for the buildings that were collapsed to state that if there is an act of terrorism or war or whatever, that the insurance underwriters slash the binder would include coverage up to $30 billion if that were to occur, that is terrorists attacking the buildings. Then several weeks later, sure enough, the buildings collapsed on schedule, totally coordinated, and Silverstein comes away with $30 billion in his pocket. Well, just as an FYI, the Francis Scott Key Bridge that got – now, it's a lie from the devil what you're hearing about China breaking into the barges and turning off the power so they crash in the bridges. That's a lie from Satan. They are not doing that. It's being controlled. You can almost believe with all of your heart it's being controlled out of Langley. It's being coordinated by Obama. Why do you think Obama's movie, what is it called, The End of the World or something like that, or Obama – hold on a second. Oh, got to get my hands lined up on the keyboard properly. Dag nabbit. Obama movie. Netflix. Yeah, okay. Okay, so let me click on this. Okay, it's called Leave the World Behind. Sorry, I couldn't remember. But why do you think it started out the first event, the first mysterious, anomalous, cataclysmic end-of-the-world event, was a giant container ship running ashore on the beach. And then right after that, what do you see happening? Barges having, you know, hacker-like events, taking down power systems and causing them ultimately to crash in to the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which they refer to as the Key Bridge. But here's the thing. Turns out that Silverstein, the same guy who pulled the insurance policy for $30 billion from the crash of the World Trade Centers through controlled demolition, happened to be the same person that insured the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Already seen video evidence that it too was collapsed by controlled demolition. The evil that is so seething and stinking and horrible and unthinkable, unrepeatable evil that is occurring in the world right now is beyond words, folks. I mean, it really, really, really is beyond world. It's beyond words. So anyway, on that note, praise God. Sorry we had the challenges with the sound with Robert. It happens sometimes, and Wales is going through attacks. You know, the World Economic Forum is attacking military bases in Wales, right down the road from where Robert lives. So, you know, we're like right on the front lines of a lot of these things happening. So anyway, for crying out loud, hold on just a second. So anyway, prophecy of God's Healer 7 from at least a decade, maybe a decade and a half ago, where Sister Barbara prophesies and confirms that, Obama is the Antichrist. She goes on to say that there will be wars, civil wars. There will, you know, in the streets, people will be getting killed. The government of the United States will be essentially brought down, and Obama will be put into power. Please, that prophecy has got to be, well, I'll tell you what, here's what I'm going to do, just to add a couple of sprinkles on your Tribulation Now cupcake before the black Tahoes pull up and take me away, to the funny farm. But anyway, hold on just a second. Here, I got to scroll faster. Hold on. I got to scroll faster. There's just way too many headlines. All right. And here we go. Here we go. And I'm scrolling down past Dr. David O'Rourke, and I'm scrolling right up to where Barbara is doing her prophecy. And I'm going to click on the link to see if the link is still good. It's linking.
Praise the Lord, everyone, and welcome to the God Teller 7 End Time Prophecy Channel.
Six,
I'm Sister Barbara, and I have...
It's 6 years ago. So when is that? Let's see, if it's 2019, it'd be 2019 to 2020 to 2021 to 2022 to 2023 to 2024. That would be 5 years. So this was done in 2018. And don't anybody try to tell me that she did not nail it and hear from the Lord perfectly, because she did. Praise God. And on that note, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all for joining us tonight. It is just about 10 o'clock p.m., and I praise God that you are all here. Please continue to pray that we are all counted worthy. I am praying for you. Pray for me. We're all in this together. Let us be counted worthy to escape all these things that are about to come upon the earth and stand at the wedding supper before the Son of Man, our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So thank you, Jesus. We have what little time left to draw in closer to you and fall deeper in love with you and to be totally harmonious with your perfect and awesome will. Please, Lord, count us worthy. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen. We will see you at the Friday night prayer vigil, Lord willing, 7 p.m.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.